Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Rowan. Hi, Katie. Hi, I'm going to be quiet for 2 minutes because I just got back from work, so I'm making voting forms. But we'll get started in 2 minutes here.
Okay. Can you put some cool fonts in again this week? Maybe some Comic Sans?
No.
Buddy, I am trying to make a voting form at about 6 forms a minute. So that's going to be a hard negative.
Comic Sans is not a cool font at all in any way, shape, or form.
Okay,
get
okay.
Out of there with this. I think this is about time that we officially stated in our bylaws that Comic Sans is unacceptable.
But
I will acknowledge Comic Sans is the second best font after Papyrus. Graphic design is my
Small children need Comic Sans because small children, and this can be on the record for a meeting that hasn't started, are stupid. And they can't recognize an A properly. They don't understand, like, a Times New Roman A, like
Did an education major just call children stupid?
I am a middle school and high school educator. Thank you. And they understand the A versus A. I know they're backwards.
Christian, I mean, if they weren't, why would they need an education?
Logic plus 100.
All right. So seeing that we're at 6 o'clock here, we're going to get things called to order here for 6 p.m. on the dot. And we'll start things off with our territory acknowledgement. So we would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Salto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and principles. Awesome. So with that, just a couple quick administrative announcements. If we do have registered, or if we have guests in the chat today joining us, I'll just ask that all of the guests please register in the Zoom chat with your first and last name and campus association, and that way we can allow you to speak in open forum and be able to keep that down for the minutes. Other quick administrational updates: we do have a pretty big agenda today. There's lots of business on here, but I'm excited to see some policies coming forward. And everything from the late editions, I will be special ordering onto the main agenda. With that being said, we will go into attendance here right away. President Agarwal.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Draper.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Lay.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Cron.
Present.
Awesome. Vice President Kidd.
Here.
Excellent. Governor Conrad. Excellent. Sorry, I'm just going to move the chat thing to the side so I can see if people message in the chat. But thank you, Governor Conrad. Councillor Carbajal? Excellent, thank you. Councillor Dixon?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. Councillor DeGrano?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Marquise?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Oliveira?
Here.
Perfect. Councillor Veloso?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Yabut?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Berhani? Councillor Berhani, are you here? Councillor Saretsky?
Present.
Excellent. Councillor Ackerman? Oh, excellent. Proxy, perfect. Councillor Batiki?
Present.
Perfect. Councillor Bid?
Present.
Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Hariharan?
Yeah.
Councillor Montero?
Present.
Councillor Buchanan? Councillor Buchanan? Councillor Filipovich emailed me saying she'd be here later. Councillor Brandwine?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Enerson? Councillor Enerson? Councillor Badesha? Councillor Badesha? Councillor Berzash? Councillor Berzash? Councillor Dillon? Was that a present for a proxy for Councillor Dillon in the chat there? Okay. Councillor Fotang?
Hello.
Perfect. Councillor Kimani?
Present.
Excellent. And Councillor Corday? Councillor Corday? Okay, I myself am here. Mark, are you here tonight? Oh, Councillor Unison, I just got your note there. Perfect, I'll put you down. Okay, so that will conclude attendance. And I am not seeing any presentations on our agenda today. So we'll go right into the executive committee reports. And for those reports, I do have a speaking order supplied, I guess, here now. So Vice President Draper, do you want to start us off?
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Councillor Bose.
Since we have new councillors, shouldn't we do both first?
Oh, you are completely correct. Actually, I hadn't even had that updated on my side here. Okay. Actually, Councillor, I don't know where I can pull up the oath of council in. I'm going to pull it up on the standing orders here. Okay, so Councillor Bose, you are correct on the first meeting since we do have new councillors here. I'll just ask that for attendance sakes because I haven't been supplied, a list of who the new councillors are, but it would be great if, okay, I just got a message for who the new councillors are, so that would be great. So Councillor Motoska and Councillor Orvold, are you both here right now?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. Okay, so we are going to do the oath of office, and usually this is done in a council chamber, so it's going to be a little bit different over Zoom. The last time we did it, I kind of just read out sort of sentence by sentence, and everybody sort of repeated after me. So if you both want to unmute your microphones just for like the next minute or so, I'll just have you repeat after me. Other counselors, feel free to chime in if you really want to, but you don't have to. Might be a cool way to support the new crew here. But we'll get things started. So first line's up. I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
I am here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I'm here for the people that lent me their power in return for a promise.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interests in mind.
I'll keep that promise,
to make decisions with their interests in mind.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will think before I speak.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
Awesome. Okay. Welcome to council, you two. Sorry, I would have been much cooler about that whole first council meeting had I known y'all were here. But that's really cool. It's awesome. It's an exciting environment. I'm happy to see that more seats are filled. So now we're good to go into executive committee reports. Vice President Draper, why don't you take us away here?
Sounds good. Hello, everybody. My name is David Draper. I'm the Vice President Academic of the Students Union. First off, welcome very much to the new counselors. I know, Emily, you're also on GFC, so I'm looking forward to work with you there as well. So welcome as well, Noah. I'm really looking forward to working with you on council. I'm really excited to have everybody here. It was great to see such a great involvement on the by-election. Otherwise, for the VPA for 4ELO, it's been a pretty wild week. I've been doing a bunch of direct one-on-ones with the Faculty Association presidents. I had a COFA senior board meeting, and then there's a COFA joint board meeting tomorrow. I've also been meeting with a bunch of people on GFC. I've also been working hard at the Protections and Recourse for Students on Experiential Learning Seminars project, and earlier today I met with the Vice Dean Academic of the Augustana faculty on that to talk about protections for students on experiential learning and work integrated learning. Above and beyond that, it is Halloween. I've officially filled all of my house with pumpkins and various orange light fixtures. I'm planning on doing some sort of ghost photo shoot on the ledge grounds, possibly with a pumpkin underneath the sheet, so it's like maternity photos. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I feel like that should be an enjoyable process for myself. I am very much a big fan of the spooky season. The leaves are changing. The weather is like a nice brisk temperature. This is kind of the ideal. It's not too hot, not too cold. But other than that, things are going good. If you have any questions about anything I'm doing, let me know. Send me an email as always, or ask it in question period. That's a lot of the stuff going on for me, but there's also a bit more outlined in my report.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. Vice President Lay, you're up.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As most of you will have seen in my report, I was taking a much needed vacation last week. So this is a slightly more short report than I would usually give. President Agarwal and I, since the last council meeting, did a number of pretty successful meetings with Edmonton area MLAs to discuss student priorities. So we met with MLAs Raki Pancholi, Thomas Dang, John Carson, Marlon Schmidt, and a number of others, and I'm looking forward to meeting more further in the semester before the legislature starts sitting again to talk about student priorities. We're meeting with a number of MLAs from outside Edmonton as well, but in the broader metropolitan area coming up soon. I've put a little snapshot of my calendar from the week before last in my report in case you've ever wondered what a typical work week for an exec looks like. So that's there in case you've ever been curious. Earlier today, I had a great meeting with Janet Riopel, president of the Edmonton Chamber of Commerce, and we discussed shared interests in the importance of student employment and student job placements. CAUSE is going to be doing an online public campaign in November about why our universities and investing in students is important for Alberta's future. That is going to be exciting, and you'll hear more shortly. I'm going to be discussing that at the COFA Joint Board this Thursday to tell faculty associations why it's important to them and how they can get involved. In other news, our exec team has chosen our Halloween costume, but that's a spooky secret. So, you know, just building some suspense. You'll get to find out what it is on October 31st. And also, there are now pumpkin pies at the Daily Grind, and I highly recommend you try them if you get a chance. They are made in-house, are delicious, and buying them is a great way to support your students' union.
Excellent. Rowan, thank you for the shameless plug at the end of that. Who's up next here? External Vice President Cron.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Vice President Lay, for stealing my most exciting update, which is the pumpkin pie. Anywho, you'll hear it again from me. Go buy the pumpkin pie. Support your students' union. You all saw a financials update last week, and you know that pumpkin pie sales will be the thing that turns us around. That is not for the minutes. That is not a direct quote. Thanks, folks. Okay, so hello. I would like to specifically welcome Emily and Nolan. I think it's very exciting that you're here. Thank you for running in a by-election. I myself got involved in students' governance like very last minute last year in a by-election. So like, go figure. It's a great way to get involved. So I'm really happy to see you two here. And yeah, tell your friends to run too. That's great. So what have I been up to? Essentially, sorry, for Emily and Nolan's benefit, I am the VP Ops Fi. So basically all of the finances and operations, you guessed it, of the Students' Union are my game. That's all of our businesses and services, general oversight of that, strategic planning for those things, all that sort of stuff, as well as budgeting. But that kind of tends to happen more in the later part of my year here. So anywho, just come ask me questions about that stuff anytime. Very brief update. I encourage more questions if you have them during open forum or question period. But basically, besides being incredibly busy with my Native Studies 201 midterm studying, I have been doing a lot of work with the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, as you've seen in my report. We are really honing in on the the adjudication and assessment documents there for both the Student Green Fund projects as well as for major capital projects. And that's been going well. We love that committee. And as well as with the Meyer Horowitz Theater renovations, that's been really interesting and taking up some time. So if you have questions about that, go ahead and ask me. We're just, again, in that planning phase, and that's been really fun. UPass, or more specifically, transit in lieu of the UPass, just had a meeting with ETS as well as all the other transit authorities today in the regional municipalities to talk about what might happen for the winter. And it's looking very much like we might make some small adjustments that will be good, but ETS is largely very unwilling to move on the decisions that they've made for the fall, which we find disappointing because I think there are creative ways to make it a lot better, but here we are once again. They're just not really receptive to that. So expect something looking approximately close to the status quo on that. Happy to take any questions later, and thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, VP Cron. Vice President Kidd, take it away.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see you all. And to our new members, thank you for running. I'm really excited to no longer be the only Ed student on council, so that will be great. And I'm sure you guys will have a good time on council. So first thing, I wasn't at last meeting. I was unfortunately at the hospital and I've been diagnosed with strep throat and mono. Strep throat's officially done. I'm off my meds, but I will be dealing with mono until the end / beginning of December. And the biggest symptom with mono is you're just exhausted all the time. And I'm really exhausted all the time. So I do ask for everyone's patience with me. I know this will impact my job. I've had it for probably a few months and I can tell now that I know I have it, that it has impacted me. I know some of you might have wondered why I chose not to step down, but that's just because when I learned, it was after the by-election, which would leave my role empty. So I will be continuing this job, and I do think I'm working as best as I can, but I do ask for some patience in the meantime. I have a bunch of council engagement opportunities, and I'm going to talk to them at open forum and just give talk for 5 minutes because I can't do it that fast enough now, but they're all in my report too. We have received our first dispenser for free menstrual products. Alana and I are extremely excited about this. It should be going up in the coming weeks, and we are so thankful to the student group CEHA for helping us get this. President Agarwal and I filmed a TikTok two-parter about academic restructuring, explaining kind of how it works and answering concerns from students. It's close to 20,000 views across all the platforms that we've put it on. So it's been extremely successful. I'm very hyped. I have already put this on my resume. As far as campus sexual violence goes, VP Draper and I did a presentation, as he mentioned. I also gave a presentation to the first meeting of the Joint Advisory Committee on Sexual Violence, which went well. We really outlined the issue on the student perspective. I'm also taking the Alberta Association of Sexual Assault Services online first responder training. I had the first one today. It's pretty heavy, but I think it will be excellent because I am dealing with a lot of disclosures in this job, and it can be pretty taxing on me emotionally. Monday, the survey about sexual violence on experiential learning went out, and I'm extremely excited. This was one of my campaign goals, and me and David have worked very hard on this issue, so having some data will absolutely help. And next meeting, you will be getting a presentation from Dr. Elizabeth Colley about Empower Me and how that is seeking to address some of the mental health struggles on campus.
Excellent, Vice President Kidd, thank you. And I'm sorry to hear that you got mono. That really, really sucks. But I wish you all of the best. And President Agarwal, let's hear from you, my dude.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And first off, I will congratulate Emily and Nolan. It's great to have you on council. It's going to be an exciting rest of the semester and next semester. So really excited to be working with you folks. In terms of academic restructuring, that, as all of you know, has been one of the largest things on my plate. It's getting quite exciting now with all the models being public now, and there's been a lot of consultation, a lot of town halls. The provost and Bill Flanagan are doing a faculty roundtable. So each faculty is going to be having a separate roundtable. So I encourage you to reach out to your deans to find out when those are and attend and get students to attend. As VP Kidd said, we did film a TikTok. VP Kidd is the queen of TikTok. So definitely check it out if you haven't already. We've been pushing for the student experience component on academic restructuring, specifically at all the venues that I'm part of. BLRSEC, which is the Board Learning and Research Student Experience Committee, Committee of the Board of Governors, that's something I brought up there. I did present at COFA, where VP Draper so kindly allowed me to present at the Council of Faculty Associations, and we got some really great feedback about the scenarios. And I'm very excited to bring those comments and suggestions and feedback back to the ARWG this Friday, actually. Later today in the agenda, you'll all see the Governance Restructuring Task Force proposal to create the committee. That's something that I'm excited to be working on, heading up to make our governance structures here at the UASU the most streamlined, the most equitable, and accessible to all people. So, it's the crazy time of the year. A lot of people have midterms, so make sure to take care of yourself and ask for help if you need anything. Your executives here are always available to chat if you ever need anything, or if you want to talk about some of the ideas and great work you're doing within your faculty associations, wherever you're doing. But thanks everyone for that report, and happy to take any questions later on.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. And Councillor Dixon for your point of information there. But yes, Claudia Conway is Kellyanne's child. Also more of a leftist, which is cool. But we will go into board and committee reports here now. And just like usual, I'll call onto the board or committee, and I'll just ask that somebody on their behalf, usually the chair or designate, provide a report. So with that, we'll start with the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Oh, actually, Councillor Dillon usually gives the report for ARC, but she isn't here today. Is there somebody else from ARC who wants to give a report?
I can.
Okay.
ARC met, which was good, and we discussed a lot of things, and we're getting a student at large, and we are putting together a sheet, kind of an information guide on what is ARC versus what is ASC, because we haven't had the student at large, they're just being, I believe, approved today. We've been trying to focus on work that would be more, like, less involving them and more involving just kind of SU members and ASC members. And once we have the student at large, we'll be getting started on other work. So extremely exciting times.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. Audit Committee. Know that. Is somebody available to give a report on behalf of Audit Committee?
Don't know if Adarsh is here or anyone, but I can give an update.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
We are in the middle of our spring summer audits and doing a lot of good work on those, and everyone's doing an amazing job. So, yeah, there you go.
Excellent. Thank you. Bylaw.
Hello. Bylaw did meet last week. The gist of our meeting was discussing with the ISA. We had the president of the ISA over to just get updates from them. They wanted to get our opinion on just helping them with their rewriting their constitution and bylaw. And we gave some constructive feedback. So that was the gist of it.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Fotang. Council Administration Committee.
Hello, everyone. I also want to welcome Nolan and Emily. Hello there. As members of council, you're automatically members of CAC as well. So we meet before the council meeting at 5. So if you ever want to join us, you're welcome to do so. And for joining council this year, we have a gift for you. You'll be getting councillors' jackets. So every councillor gets a jacket. So I'll be asking you for your sizes and all that, and we'll order that and you'll have your jackets. What we have been doing on CAC, today we discussed about an honorarium for student at large positions on translation committee, and we discussed updates about ARC recommendations. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Bid. Next up, the Executive Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So it's that time of the year again where we're getting close to thinking and planning about executive elections and students' council elections, which happen usually in the winter semester. So what the Executive Committee is doing this year, as we did last year, is creating executive shadow days. So within the next couple days, we will put out publicly a Google form where you can sign up to shadow any of the executives for whatever options are available. So there'll be typically 2-hour chunks of time where you are able to shadow at a specific committee or a certain meeting that the executive is part of, as well as an hour typically where you're able to ask any questions about what the portfolio is, or any just general questions. So you'll have a chance to sign up for specific portfolios if you would like to shadow. So keep an eye out for that, and we certainly encourage people to share that with your friends and other students to get as many people interested in running.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Next up, we have the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, so the Finance Committee met last week, and we did, so we started our approvals, or sorry, we started our, not approvals process, we started the process by which we collect information from dedicated fee units on their, sort of their financials, looking at their financial reporting to ensure that it's all in compliance with our bylaw 6000 suite, and ensuring that, yeah, everything is all kosher with that as per our mandate. So that process is rolling forward as of this time. And Finance Committee also this last time looked at an appeals process for a student group who did not submit their information on time to be picking up their check for student group grant money, which normally means a forfeiture of the grant money. However, this group was, they had a very impressive application and had and were very sincere in the fact that they were missing their treasurer and COVID had gotten really in the way of all of their organizational sort of stuff. And so we were able to, yeah, to accept that appeal and to make sure that this student group was able to serve their constituents in the best way possible. So we're very happy to have been doing that. And yeah, keep stay tuned, I guess.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. NomCom.
Hello, hello. I am back again. I'd never left, but I'm still back again. NomCom did not meet, but we voted online. We had an e-vote for the ARC student at large application, which we have selected to proceed for ratification at council. So that is very exciting. And what that means is the regularly scheduled programming for your NomCom has officially reached its end. There's a few more things coming up, stuff like ratification for GFC seats. Also, if any seats are vacant after if somebody steps down from a role, stuff like that. There's still work to be done, but our typical regularly scheduled programming has more or less wrapped up. So that's quite nice. I do want to take this moment to specifically thank every single member of NomCom, Abner, Anna, Nathan, Rowan, Serena, Talia. Y'all have been a fantastic team. It's been absolutely amazing to work with y'all. And I've been very, very happy to see the growth in all of you up until this point on NomCom and on council as a whole. So thank you all for your fantastic work. It's been an absolute privilege to work with y'all on NomCom.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. Next we'll hear from Policy Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So Policy Committee met last Tuesday. You know, during midterm season now, everyone's extremely busy, but we continue to get a lot of good work done. So I want to credit a lot of good work to Policy Committee and thank you for continuing to work hard. Y'all, we've been continuing to work on policy renewals that are going to be coming to council later on. The Campus Policing Policy Subcommittee has developed a survey that's going to be getting sent out to students. And we approved the first principles of the student employment policy. That's pretty much it.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Montero. Okay, the Sustainability Committee.
Hello. We have met once since our last meeting. Yeah, that's how time works. And we are kind of in the middle of doing research for the creation of our recommendations. So nothing to bring to council, but yeah, we're making progress on our goals and it's all starting to look really great. And I'm very happy to be working with the committee that we have this year. Yeah, that's all.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Dixon. The Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee.
Yes, the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee met last week. It's been wonderful to chat with them, a very dedicated group of people about, yeah, just what we're looking for in our assessment documents. We are trying to be very thorough about creating you know, understandings about each of our criteria points that will sort of aid in this committee's understanding as well as next year's Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee and, you know, the year after that, to ensure, you know, fair and accountable funding processes and adjudication processes year over year, to really be making sure that, you know, this fund is providing, you know, very obvious and meaningful benefits to students so that we can be making sure that it's a fair process. And so if you have any more questions for me about that, happy to answer them. But yeah, this committee is doing great work and I'm very proud of all of its members.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. I was doing so well, but I messed up the alphabet. The student groups committee is due up here.
Thank you, Jared, for noticing. This is my favorite part of the week when I get to say student group committee has not met because we do not have a complaint to meet about. So we have not met, but thank you.
That's okay. I make a relevant mistake sometimes. Translation committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It always makes me really happy when you don't forget us. So specifically, since last meeting, we've been looking at trying to get an honorarium for the new members that we're hoping to get through the student at large positions for translation committee, largely just because of the backlog that exists currently with the translation that needs to be done. We're still working on numbers, but we'll have something for that set out soon, I hope. And then on top of that, today, Anna and I have, within the minutes, a motion to try and get one more member from Student Council onto the translation committee, largely so that when we're trying to pick student larges, there isn't a tie of each of us arguing for one person, as well as it helps us to, you know, get away from conflict of interest. For example, Councillor Oliveira is very much involved in the translation program at the U of A, so anyone from that program she would have a connection to, and then myself being involved with CSJ, we want to make sure that there's not any bias towards any of the applicants. Beyond that, we're excited to get to work on this now, that we've got everything set out. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And Eric, je ne peux pas t'oublier, mon ami, tu es très important. But finally,
merci, Monsieur Speaker.
Governor Conrad.
Hello. Just to open up, had a meeting on the Board Governance Committee. Some of the open session things were the committee's work plan about kind of how to measure member competencies and kind of the strategic plan and events for the board. So that was good. Had a lot of different meetings this week with just different groups, like Augustana, well, I guess last 2 weeks, Augustana Students Association and Aboriginal Students Council. Those are really good kind of semi-initial touch points post-election. I got some live platform progress docs going up for each kind of constituency group. So very excited about kind of tracking that and being structured about that so we can define our progress and understand next steps very, very clearly. The sense of issues, just want to, although I'm sure many of you have already read it, but just want to say sorry about the way I've made some of you feel with some comments that were not for that context or were not said correctly. Again, to reiterate, intent is not to hurt people, but absolutely if it comes across, it needs to be addressed. So thank you to all the people who brought that up to me, and thank you for those who worked with me through that so I could commit to doing some things differently and hopefully better. Lastly, our ISA representation, representation on the board, that has been kind of migrated to Joel, Joel's portfolio on the board. He's gonna, maybe you can talk to it wherever, but Chan Preet, president, will give a presentation to BLRSEC probably in the November 20th meeting, committee meeting, and so I'm excited to see what fruit comes of that. Thanks.
Excellent, thank you, Governor Conrad. And at this moment of time, I'll usually ask if any other members of council would like to submit a report on behalf of a committee. But I think all of the committees actually report now, which is great. So I will assume that any councillor wanting to make a report would have spoken up by now, and we will move into open forum. Just as a reminder for all of our guests and members of council, open forum is an opportunity for guests of council to pose questions towards members of council. You can have a 30-second speaking turn for asking a question, but if you'd like to make a statement, you have 2 minutes to speak for a total combined 3 speaking turns before I unfortunately have to turn the mic off. But I do see someone up in the batter's box here. So Mitchell Pollock, why don't you take us away here?
Awesome, thanks, Speaker. Abrams and Agarwal, I just want to ask you a bit about student experience and getting that measured in the U of A Tomorrow initiative, because according to NAUS Group's report on academic restructuring, they don't consider student experience to be a compelling factor or metric to look at in the restructuring process. What specific metrics are you looking for to include in that?
President Agarwal, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. So the point of student experience is really, really important. You know, we've heard from other other institutions. You brought up last council meeting, Mitchell, of you know, the University of Sydney, for example. And what I'm doing as the representative of undergraduate students on the ARWG is really bringing up those concerns when they are related to student experience. So, for example, you know, one piece of feedback I heard from when I presented at COFA actually was, what about student services, student experience, student-specific counseling, whatever it may be, in a faculty that, you know, if we're using a division that merges or puts seven faculties into one of the divisions, how are we ensuring that those targeted supports for a specific faculty are not diversified into the other seven, as to create dilution? And those are issues I'm bringing up. So I've been pressing this point with admin, and so far they've been responding quite well. For example, just last week, the Dean of Students office has actually mentioned that they're engaging with an exercise currently to map the range of student services available on campus to really identify whether those specific services are for students generally or specific to a faculty. So in terms of metrics, I haven't had the detailed conversations about what they would be at this point, but I'm keeping my ears and my eyes very much open on this, and to ensure that the student experience is frankly increasing rather than decreasing.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Mitchell, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. And thank you for that answer, President Agarwal. For a follow-up, when you're doing consultations for the U of A Alberta initiative, do you have any plans to directly consult with the student population writ large? I know you mentioned before some sort of strategic communication plan, but I have noticed that there has been no advertising for the U of A Tomorrow Town Halls, for example, on any of the SU social media. I was wondering if there's any plan to directly consult with students broadly.
President Agarwal, go ahead.
So I will push back a little bit. We have been advertising on social media. So as Katie, Vice President Kidd mentioned earlier, herself and me made a TikTok actually, which has garnered, over 16,000 views, both on Instagram and TikTok. And we did mention in there that students should be engaged in the process through the town halls and through the various means. I've been doing my best to promote and get feedback from students through our council. So I did a presentation at our students' council. I did present at the Council Faculty Association. So getting that feedback from all of the faculty association members, executives who were present, who have been bringing me concerns that they're hearing from their general student population. In addition to that, of course, we have been putting on social media, and actually we are putting out some more content actually in the next couple of days for further engagement within the faculty roundtables, as well as some of the additional town halls that are going to be coming up. But you know, my priority, this is a complex and a nuanced process. At the end of the day, my number one priority is to bring the student experience and concerns to the Academic Restructuring Working Group. And I've been very cognizant to keep an eye on any of the parts that will negatively impact the student experience. Me being at the table is critically important to ensuring that the undergraduate students' interests are, at the table. So I'm happy to follow up with that if that answered the question or not.
Awesome, sounds good. Thank you, President.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal and Mitchell. And I'm not seeing anybody else in the speakers list. So I'm going to speak slowly for a second and wait for it to build. But seeing as nothing is populating, we're going to move into question period here. So just as a reminder, Actually, for new counselors here, as a reminder, so question period is for any members of council to pose questions towards other members of council. Questions must be asked individually, so you do have to pose it to a specific member, or if you need clarification, you can always ask. And you do get a 30-second speaking turn with 2 minutes to respond to any questions, or a 2-minute statement turn as well for a combined 3 speaking turns. We do have a speaking list building already, so Councillor Bose, you're up first here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a combination of statement and at the end there's a question. So basically, really excited to hear about the pumpkin pie. And yeah, I definitely want to support SU by buying one, but you also got to support me by giving me the councillor discount card. So this is a question for VP Kron. When will I be getting, or when can I expect to get the councillor discount card so that I can buy a pumpkin pie and support SU?
Vice President Kron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Councillor Bose, for the question. I have to admit, as somebody who was not on Students' Council last year, I completely forgot about that until you just mentioned it. Not realizing it was at all under my purview, still not sure if it is. I will look into that for you as I take this very seriously and need to ensure that you are able to afford pumpkin pie. And I believe that, you know, with this discount, possibly you could buy 15% more pumpkin pie than you would be able to otherwise. And I would highly encourage you to do so. I think that would be a really helpful choice. So I will look into that and make sure that gets somehow into your hands, if possible, safely in this COVID situation.
Thank you, Vice President Kron. Got to get the man's a discount card so we can get some pie. But I like that business pitch there too. Okay, Vice President Kidd, go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, how many minutes do I have for a statement?
Vice President Kidd, you have 2 minutes for a statement. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, so I'm going to go through the volunteer opportunities I put in my report because I just want to make sure that everyone knows about them and can participate. So the first is helping Simran and I translate her excellent sexual violence resource manual into as many languages as possible. Talking about translation a lot today between this and CAC. It's currently in English and it's also available in Punjabi. But if you have any other language that you speak that you'd be willing to help us translate this into to make sure the most amount of students are accessing it and can get the help they need, we would love to. The second opportunity is working with me and other volunteers to update UASU Cares. So that is our online resources that has help for a variety of topics, including sexual violence, mental health, homelessness, things like that. So we need to check all of our resources, but as well update them to make sure that we're having faith inclusive and culturally inclusive resources. So it is a larger task, but I really think the most amount of volunteers we can get, it will go by quickly, and this will be so beneficial to the community. And then the third is completely different, but you guys know I run the exec social media, and I want you all to have a social media presence through the council page. So there's currently a Facebook page, but I would love to expand that to an Instagram and kind of help you guys with that. But I need counselors to take it on. I think it could be a really unique opportunity. I think all of these are done best as a team. So please WhatsApp or Facebook message or email me which one you would like to be involved with, and I will make a group chat and we can go from there. They're all laid out again in my report in case you can't remember what I just said. But please message me. I need your help. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. These sound like some exciting opportunities. Councillor Buchanan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can you hear me? Wonderful.
I can hear you.
My question is for Vice President Kron. I was wondering if you could elaborate on what changes or improvements the SU is advocating for the UPass with ETS for next semester, and in the context, unless I misunderstood, for this semester, the vast majority of undergraduate students are able to get a monthly transit pass through the ride transit program for under the cost of the monthly amount you'd pay for UPass, or slightly over, unless I am mistaken. So I was wondering if you could further elaborate on those plans.
Vice President Crowe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan, for giving me an opportunity to elaborate on that. I appreciate that. So, so essentially, the situation right now, just to recap, for the benefit of those who maybe haven't heard it, and just so we're all clear, is basically there are two options available to students. Essentially, you can, students of all ages can purchase a monthly youth pass, so not U pass, but youth pass, which is $72.50 a month. You can buy the ticket books. So normally those are reserved for folks under the age of 25, but now anybody can. So yay if you're a grad student, I guess. Or Joel Eggerwall, sorry. The ride transit program is also available for students at this time. And so essentially, yes, if you make less than 29,000 and some other number of dollars per year, you can prove it with a notice of assessment, CERB, employment insurance, and there are some other more obscure forms there. You can apply for the Leisure Access Program, which will then get you eligibility to access a monthly ride transit pass. It's a laborious and cumbersome process, and that is how it is right now. It's even worse because of COVID, so my apologies on behalf of ETS for that, I suppose. The lower tier of the ride transit is $34 a month. The upper tier, if you make between $29,000 and $33,000 a year, you can purchase it for $48 a month, which if you look at the breakdown of the U-Pass as it currently sort of is, except that it's not existing, but in this contract that we're currently under, it's about $45 a month in that breakdown. So yeah, it's somewhere in between those two. Anywho, but don't we miss the simplicity of the U-Pass. But this is to say, so what's happening for the winter is that it's looking at this point like because of reasons that I've stated before, because of ETS's incredibly slow bureaucracy and unwillingness to shift, this solution that we currently have seems to be the solution that will be moving forward with in the winter semester as well. Can't say what much will change on ETS's end. There has been some conversation, though, that we've been able to successfully have with other regional transit authorities. For example, Strathcona County, St. Albert, Spruce Grove, those kinds of folks, on what could be possible for students living in those regional transit authorities jurisdictions, basically so that they could maybe access, commuter passes for cheaper or something starting in the winter semester. But those conversations are ongoing. And again, because of the bureaucratic processes with their councils, I have no idea what's going to be possible. If only every council was as expedient as ours, but here we are. So I hope that answered your question, Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Vice President Cron.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. Sorry. Councillor Buchanan, you're up next again.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question, I presume, is for Vice President Cron, although it may be more appropriate for another member of the executive. I was wondering if an update could be provided on the aftermath of the fire that was in Sub this past week.
President Agarwal, Vice President Cron, either you want to touch on how late it was?
I'm happy to take this, if that's all right, President Agarwal and Mr. Speaker. Yes, Councillor Dixon, you clearly didn't read the Gateway article. I'm kidding. There was a fire, unfortunately, on the fourth floor. I don't know how much detail I'm allowed to go into, but we know fairly certainly that it was deliberate arson. Essentially, it was more of a smoldering smoke kind of a fire than an actual blaze. Though, of course, there was some kind of a blaze in order to make things smolder. So there you go. The things that were lit on fire were not, I think it was like a box of files or something. It wasn't anything, substantial, that was lit on fire. But it was done close to the elevator shaft, and essentially, this caused damage to elevators because of the sprinklers that went off. It also caused extensive, I say extensive, you know, for something so seemingly small, pretty extensive damage for the Gateway offices and on the third floor. Really feeling for them, but the university has been quite quick to come in and be cleaning things up. You know, so Mitchell, you're here on the call, and I just want to extend my condolences on that. You know, and I hope that there wasn't too much damage done. But we know that it was mostly things like wet ceiling tiles. I think three sofas in the Gateway office were completely soaked through. Carpet wet, obviously. I don't believe that there was a lot of damage done to electronics in the Gateway office, which we can be thankful for, although maybe there was an update on that that I'm not privy to. But essentially, the university is taking care of it, you know, as per the collective agreement. Basically, that's their jurisdiction. So, yeah, any more questions on that, happy to answer, but essentially, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Cron. Councillor Bowes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this question is for the Chair of Bylaw. There's a certain bylaw which says that for any referendum or plebiscite to get passed, it needs a minimum of 15% of voter turnout. So I was wondering, considering that this is a COVID-struck year and most of the election stuff is gonna be done online, are there any plans to change that bylaw for this year? Just wondering.
Good evening, Councillor Bowes, and thank you for the question. Yes, there are plans, but they were in the discussion stage right now. Councillor Enerson has taken the lead on consulting with a lot of the faculty associations and I believe other groups who may be affected by this. So I'll get back to you once we've kind of formalized a proposal. But that is our main kind of mission this fall is to figure that out. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Foteng. And you are up to bat here as well.
Thank you. This question is for Vice President Draper. As we recently saw in the news, one of our professors received the Nobel Prize in Medicine, and that was exciting. And it just goes to show and recognize the caliber of research that takes place here at the U of A. And I just wanted to ask what steps you've taken to bolster awareness of things like the URI and other research opportunities for students, especially who might not be here on campus and are, you know, away from Edmonton. How you plan to reach out to these individuals and also just here, just to like further our research opportunities. Thank you,
Vice President Draper.
Thank you very much for the question, Councillor Fauteuil. Yes, we did indeed have a Nobel Prize winner at the U of A. That is super awesome. I believe it is actually the second Nobel Prize in medicine that Canada has ever received. So the U of A now roughly holds 50% of the Canadian Nobel laureates in medicine, which is, I'd say, a pretty solid thing. In terms of research, I sit on the URI steering committee and I've been working with them to help engage students through that office. They actually have a lot of really, really involved student at-larges, which are fantastic to see because they are honestly, like working with student at-larges is always some of the most important and highlights of my day. So that's always great to work with them. Similarly, this is now a fantastic time to talk about a great initiative that I inherited from my predecessor, formerly VP Agarwal, BrainPop. BrainPop is a undergraduate research event. Last year it was focused more so on showcasing undergraduate research. And this year I'm actually planning on pivoting it a little bit due to COVID since there's not as much chance to showcase, but more so to provide students with the abilities to reach out to their professors, how to get involved in research, how to find paid research opportunities, how to apply for grants, how to apply for research stipends, that kind of stuff, to really give students a direct opportunity for information on how to be able to get involved in research and to prep them, how to talk to people about that. So keep your eye on that. That should be happening relatively early on into the next semester.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. I'll look to Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I say my question, I'll just add on and related to the new Loboil laureate here. It's a great example. If you haven't read his story, he's actually rejected other awards in the past because they weren't inclusive enough of including all the members of his team. And he only accepted the Nobel because, you know, well, it's the Nobel. It'd kind of be insulting not to accept that. So I think it's a great example of, you know, just how he conducts himself. For my question, it's for VP Cron and or President Agarwal, whoever could answer the best. When can we expect a plan to be disclosed for the financing proposal for the Meyer Horowitz Theater renovation? Things have been talked at a high level, and, you know, in general terms, there may be other, you know, government grants or things from the university. But when would a more detailed plan for how the project, the proposed project would be financed to be disclosed and relayed to council? Thank you.
VP Cron, do you want to field that one?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you again, Councillor Buchanan, for the question. Yeah, so the timeline approximately where we would want to be bringing this to council for council's consideration is in November. So we want to be, we're working hard with the architects right now to be planning, you know, as per directed, you know, all of the various ways in which the theater can be made far more sustainable and just generally a fantastic venue. And of course, as you have identified, funding is a major part of that. And so that's something that we want to be bringing to council along with that. General Manager Mark Dumichel and myself are thinking about that a lot. He is a lot more well-versed with that. And I know that, you know, from our conversations, he's honing in on sort of where he, at least, you know, what avenues he doesn't want to be looking at, you know, for funding. And so that's something that he's thinking of a lot, I know, and something that I'm talking with him about. So basically, I would say, rest assured that that conversation is happening, and it's something we're thinking about. But that will come to council in November, along with, you know, with a presentation on what happened with the planning process and, you know, where we're going to go from there, pending council's agreement and approval. So keep your ears open in November.
Thank you.
Thank you, VP Cron. Councillor Oliveira.
Hi, I think my question is towards VP Draper. I think we all received the email that says that winter is going to be online, but maybe I interpreted it wrong, but it seems that there will be more classes in winter in person than in fall. And I was just wondering if there is a plan about how that is going to work for students who won't be able to attend classes because they're outside Canada or something like that. Thank you.
Vice President Draper.
Yeah, thank you very much for the question, Councillor Oliveira. That process was recently announced, and actually the approval process for exceptions to the online learning mandate has, I believe, gone live. I think the applications for professors to be able to apply for this opened up on the 5th. To my knowledge, as of right now, there's still going to be options for students who are not in person, as levels of comfortability, levels of risk, levels of physical location in Canada are very much so differing. And it's very much so an issue that is front of mind. I believe currently there is exceptions for students who cannot make in-person designated classes in the fall. I believe those will be carrying over into the winter, but I can always push for more clarification from the relevant offices. I'm meeting with the program, the Public Health Response Team Academic Impacts Support Group tomorrow morning. So I can bring that up there tomorrow.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to say that committee's name either, Vice President Draper. That one's insane.
It's better than Kliat Yakop Fasla. That's another one I'm on. I can spell it out.
Councillor Fotang, go ahead.
Hello. This question is again for Vice President Draper. As you know, this year, a lot of classes for a lot of students, specifically science students, are asynchronous. And I was thinking if you've had any discussions maybe with the academic leadership to talk about the possibility of like having a bank for these recordings to stay, as almost something like what the Faculty of Medicine does with their lectures, and you know, safekeeping all of these things for future students who, like, let's say might miss a lecture or might for other reasons not be able to attend, so they can look back and have these files and formats there to aid them. Thank you.
So go ahead, Vice President Draper.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councilor Foteng, for the question. I 100% agree that would be absolutely amazing. With the Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry, they have that available right now. And in talks with the Medical Students Association, every single person there loves it. Like, you can go to in-person classes if you can. If you can't, you can also go to the online pre-recorded. They have a data bank that I believe stretches for something like 7 years of the same course. So you can go and find and see how it's changed over time. Personally, I think that would be absolutely amazing. And that's something that I have been bringing up. There is a few points of contention alongside that conversation. The issue of academic property and academic freedom for professors, whether or not the professor or the institution owns the actual course and the content taught in it. So those are a few things that are a little points of contention, but I still believe that this is a fantastic opportunity that I think it would not make sense to not do this. Pardon the double negative, it makes sense to do this because it's just easier for everybody. It's way better for students and for professors. They can also, like, if they're teaching a new class for the first time, they also have access to the class bank to see what was taught in previous years. And for professors who are teaching a class that's like a post-requisite for a certain class, they can see exactly where students are at. So I think overall, this is something that would be fantastic. And I'm very, very excited just to continue pushing for that for this over this year.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. So that'll bring us to time and also the exhaustion of our speakers list, which is ironically pleasant, but we will look to go into board and committee business here. So quite a few items on our agenda. We'll look to get through a few of them here probably before we go for break, but then we'll come back afterwards here. So we'll start item 7A to the approval of the first principles of the student employment policy. Motion brought forward by Councillor Montero, and I'll just look to call for a secondary here if I could into the chat. Councillor Filipovich, thank you. Councillor Montero, a moment to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First off, I'd like to thank Councillor Brandwein and VP Draper for all their amazing work on this policy. It was a pleasure to work with both of them, and I'm excited that we get to bring this to you both, or to all of you, sorry. I will actually, instead of speaking on this policy, I'm going to pass it off to Councillor Brandwein to speak on it. This is a policy that he brought forward to us, to Policy Committee, something he's really passionate about, and I think it's only fitting that he shares the work we've done with it.
Certainly. So, Councillor Brandwein, I'll just ask that you quickly hop on the speakers list, and I'll make sure to get at you first here. I just wanted to make a quick note for our new calendars coming through. What you're going to see in this policy is a first principle. So we are agreeing on the overall intentions of the policy and what it's looking to achieve, not specifically like the wording or anything like that. Secondly, if like we're looking to discuss or ask questions about the policy or debate the policy, now is the great time to do it for anybody who is not on policy committee or is busy during the times of policy committee. But with that, I'll have Councillor Brandwein speak to this here.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And along with Councillor Montero and VP Draper, I'm really excited to bring forward to council the first principles for the student employment policy. In terms of the changes that we've made, we really wanted to focus on reorganizing the structure of this policy, as well as providing greater context by expanding upon existing facts and adding some new ones in there too. So we took the feedback and advice from policy committee during our meetings very seriously, and we worked to implement their suggestions into the policy, namely inclusion of protected persons and how they face additional challenges to applying for a work permit. And we were also sure to embed, you know, all resource citations and link them all at the bottom of the document. And of course, we highlighted all changes in red. So at this time, we would be happy to answer any questions. And if not, to move to approve the first principles of this policy. Thank you.
Excellent. So we'll go into, I guess, what's formally called debate on this policy. So it's a time to have read over the policy prior to the meeting or quickly read it over and like voice thoughts or questions upon this. But I'll welcome anybody to the speakers list. And in debate, we technically have 4 minute speaking turns. President Agarwal, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you for all the work on this policy, Councillor Brandwine, Councillor Montero, and everyone else involved on this. I think this is a really, VP Draper as well, sorry, I forgot about, I think this is a really great additions to the policy. I did just have one question about, I think section 10, what was the rationale of including, this section? I think it's actually really important, but I'm just curious how this was, what the conversations were around that section there.
I guess I'll just jump in here really quickly if VP Draper wants to add anything as well, because I know he was working extensively on that part. I think it was just meant to address, the acquisition of necessary soft and transferable skills that students attain through internship opportunities, through employment opportunities, and which employers tend to consider as very strong assets during pre-graduation and post-graduation.
Excellent. Vice President Draper?
Sorry about that. I was just performing a brief marathon of a scroll wheeling to make sure I get to the right spot in the policy. And then I realized I was scrolling through the wrong documents. But point 10, I believe, is the soft transferable skills are acquired through employment and leadership opportunities and are essential towards most careers and landing a postgraduate employment. For me, that's a very important one because I am a firm believer in soft skills and a firm believer in micro certifications and soft certifications. Things that are more than just having your degree, more than just having your classes, but also being able to showcase that you've been directly involved in things above and beyond that. I know myself personally, I've been working towards a certificate in community service or community engagement and service learning. And that has been something I've found a lot of value of because it's taught me a lot of direct real world skills, such as liaising with not-for-profits, similar things like that. Similarly, micro-credentials are another big thing that although they might not be a direct degree part, but they also provide a lot of great opportunities for employment and are something that employers are really looking for right now. So this is really all about ensuring that not just are students having access for jobs, but they're also being prepared fulsomely and effectively for those jobs and are being prepared for what the job market looks like right now, as well as what the job market's gonna look like in the future.
Excellent, thank you, Vice President Draper. Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is kind of a question of clarification on what we're doing here, because by looking at the documents provided, it's looking like we're updating the facts that are the premises for the policy and comparing it to the policy that's available on SU's website. You know, there's all a bunch of other resolutions. So is the purpose of this bill to update the facts and then in the future we're going to be looking at updating resolutions, or what's kind of the overall aim for this bill? Hopefully that's a clear question.
Vice President Draper?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Also, sorry if you hear a small cat yelling in the background. At about 7:12 every night, she decides to do this. So my cat's running around my apartment screaming at the top of her lungs. For that specific question, thank you very much, Carl. The part for that, the first principles for bylaws versus policies are slightly different. For bylaws, it typically goes with the full outline reasoning behind it and then into the actual full written words. For policies, the first principles versus second principles typically fall on the facts versus resolutions. So the first principles of a policy always comes forward as an update to the facts, wherein the second principles comes back with both the facts and the new updated resolutions. So it's a bit different from what policy is, from what bylaw is, but this is typically the way policy committee works on this. So it just allows us to showcase what's new here, and then we can also link them more effectively in the next round to the new resolutions stemming from them.
Wonderful, thank you for the clarification.
Excellent. Okay, I don't see anybody else on the speakers list, so I will look to copy a link over for the vote.
Mr. Speaker, I have a
Councilor Bowes, I do see you. I was kind of hoping somebody would chime in there. Go ahead.
So I have a question regarding section 3. I was wondering why was this put in, because I am in a co-op program and I'm also an international student and that's how it works. So I don't know, like, why is it there? Like, if this is something which we already do. So I don't know, am I missing something here? So that's my question.
I will look to, or Councillor Bowes, did you have a particular person to pose it to?
I mean, anyone who can answer. Like, I was wondering, like, we already do it, so why is it there?
Vice President Draper?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why it's there. It is, like, for this section, it's just outlining all the facts about what things actually are. So we want to ensure that the fulsome list of what is happening and what's already being done is outlined here, so that when it comes time to put forward the resolutions, all the relevant information is there. So that was something that I believe was mentioned in a few bits or pieces throughout there, but we wanted to add that in there in more fulsome detail to make sure that all the proper and relevant information is actually present within the policy.
Excellent, thank you, Vice President Draper. Okay, I will ask, is council ready to vote? Councilor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was wondering, I'm looking at policy number 4, the old policy, and I could have, it could be addressed later. Oh, so the old policy number 4, okay. I see the answer here, never mind. The old policy number 4 is moved into policy 5 now, and so policy 4 is completely different. Okay, thanks. No question.
Excellent. Okay, I will look to begin the vote here so we can keep things rolling, but the form is available for you all here now. And just for new counselors, you will have to sign in with your UL Alberta email, so just a note.
Mr. Speaker, that's exactly what I've been doing.
Yeah, I've been asking you all to submit me memes, and I finally got one tonight, actually. So if anybody wants to throw me a Facebook message meme to surprise council, I figured out how I can put them in. But, okay, I'm going to populate the results here. We have enough. And this will pass unanimously with 28 votes in favor. So congratulations on passing the first principles of the student employment policy. We're going to go on to item 7B of our agenda here. So Vice President Cron moves to nominate one counselor to the finance committee. And I'll just quickly ask for a secondary for that. Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Soretsky. Vice President Cron, you have 1 minute to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, everyone. It came to my attention once more that we have a vacancy on Finance Committee, and it ought to be filled. So please join us as things are very fun at this committee. We laugh all the time and have nothing but good times discussing finance and all these sorts of things. That's a little bit of a joke, but honestly, things do pick up in the fall and winter semesters. So it will be more fun. Please nominate yourself or someone you love to be on this committee, because we need you. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. So we're going to go into the nomination stage. And just for everyone's reminder and to new councillors, you can enter the speakers list to nominate another member of council or nominate yourself. And if you wish to accept your nomination, you should think about a little bit what you're going to say, because you'll be asked to speak for a minute about why you should be nominated. And then we'll vote in a preferential order. But first things first, Councillor Buchanan.
I nominate Councillor Matoska, if I'm saying that correct.
Councillor Matoska, I'm not going to call, I don't want to gatekeep this, so I'm not going to call on the person being nominated, just to keep things rolling smoothly. But Councillor Matoska, did you want to accept the nomination?
Sorry, I am going to decline only because I'm not sure what exactly would be required of me in this position.
Can I elaborate on that, Mr. Speaker?
yeah, totally. I don't want you to feel like you're underprepared for it. So, like, it is a great opportunity to become more involved. And Vice President Cron, if you want to take 2 minutes to elaborate on what Finance Committee does, I think that would be great for the new members of council.
Thank you. Thank you for your point of information, VP Draper. I recognize that not everybody knows what happens at Finance Committee. So my apologies, Councilor Matoska. So essentially what Finance Committee does is it plays a bit of an overseeing role in terms of the SU's finances generally. So later on in the year, it'll be approving budget principles that I myself, in my role as the Ops Fi, not as the chair of finance, I am going to go and do, so things like that. So there's, a bit of that involvement. Currently right now, there's overseeing the financial reporting processes of the dedicated fee units. So that's things like, you may know, well, the Gateway, who attends these council meetings to report, they're one of our DFUs. We have all sorts of other things, CJSR Radio, the Refugee Student Board and things like that. So those are some of the things the Finance Committee gets up to. We're responsible also for student group granting and awards and all sorts of things like that. Some of the stuff is more hands-on than others. I would say for you, honestly, the commitment would be a 1 hour meeting every 2 weeks. That may increase around budget principles time, but that won't be soon. And then also, there may be like half an hour every 2 weeks of homework, but really not even that. So it's quite low commitment, but I would say it is interesting if you're interested in finances at all. It's a cool opportunity.
Excellent. And I'll just quickly weigh in again on the process of the nominations. So if you are nominated, you can either like say that you accept the nomination, or in council, status quo is that you, if you don't want to, that you respectfully decline the nomination. And if you do accept the nomination, then you'll be asked to prepare a 1 minute speech towards why you would like to be nominated for council or for the committee. But with that, Councillor Matoska, do you have a better sense, and are you more equipped? Are you wanting to change your answer?
I have a question, if that's okay. If I am a vice president of finance on a faculty student council, is that a conflict of interest if I am on this committee?
It would only be a conflict of interest if you're dealing with matters specific to your faculty association, to the best of my knowledge.
So, sorry, Mr. Speaker, just to add on, because faculty association finances are dealt with primarily by audit committee, whereas the finance committee does not deal with faculty association audits. And so in that sense, I would say no. I mean, there may be like a 2% overlap of something somewhere at some point, but you can just abstain from a vote maybe if that ever comes up. But no, there is no general big overlap with that. In fact, you may find it more interesting because of your involvement in that role, but that's up to you, no pressure.
In that case, if I may, I'd like to accept the nomination.
Excellent. Perfect. Okay. Vice President Cron, you had a nomination.
I do. Mr. Speaker, am I allowed to nominate someone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I would like to nominate Councillor Kimani, in case you'd be interested.
Thanks for the nomination, but I respectfully decline.
No worries.
All right. Next up on our list, Councillor Bid.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Councillor Buchanan.
Councillor Buchanan?
Point of information again for Vice President Cron, what time again is the meeting during the week? I'm pulling up the calendar here, but you can answer faster than it loads.
Wednesdays, so non-council Wednesdays, so not tomorrow, but the week after tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's our fall schedule. That may change in the winter, but that's what it is for right now.
Thank you, Vice President Cron. Unfortunately, I have to decline because I have a class at that time.
That's all right. Councillor Fotang. Councillor Fotang, do you have a nomination?
It looks like in the chat he said his laptop froze, so please skip over.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Okay. Councillor Orvald.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You said that you can nominate yourself, correct?
That's correct.
I would like to nominate myself for finance. Do I have to give a speaking point or anything like that, or is this just a nomination?
No. So you nominated yourself. Would you like to accept your nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. I know. Very weird, but I don't know. That's just the geeky little rules.
I may have to take a second to discuss with myself whether I fully want to go through with this.
Okay. Think it over. Let me know.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Vice President Draper?
I would like to nominate myself to sit on the Finance Committee.
All right. And how would you like to proceed?
Thinking about it more critically, I think I should actually disrespectfully decline. I'm angry at myself for asking myself that.
Okay. All jokes aside, do we have any more nominations? Tyler. Councillor Shresky, go ahead.
I would like to nominate Councillor Baticki.
And Councillor Baticki?
I respectfully decline. Thank you, though.
All right. I will make a final call for nominations here. Okay. Seeing none, we're going to go into the speeches aspect. And all year we've run speeches in the order in which you were nominated. So just a quick reminder, you do get a minute to speak about your intentions of why you'd like to be on Finance Committee. And then council will get to vote as to who they would like to be on the committee. And since we only have two councillors, it'll just be a straight vote instead of a preferential ballot. But with that, I will allow for Councillor Matoska to have the floor here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I'd like to just correct the pronunciation of my last name before it gets too late and too awkward to make a correction. So it's Matoska.
Matoska? Okay, thank you so much. I've been trying to get everyone's right and I've been asking them to correct me, but thank you, Councillor Matoska.
No problem. So I am interested in this position. I did mention that I'm on a finance position for my faculty association. And I've learned a lot over the past year in that position, as well as on another student group as a treasurer. So I've been very familiar with finance committees in the past, and I'm just super interested in learning more and looking forward to, if granted this position, to just expand my knowledge and be able to help in whichever way that I can.
Excellent, thank you. And Councillor Orvald.
Oh, hello guys. I'm new to council here, so this is my first event being at, so this is all kind of quite new to me, but one of the first things that I told myself if I got elected was I would take the time to get involved as much as possible to really gather the information and truly understand what's going on here. So a little bit about myself. I'm an open study student. I've worked in the trades for the last 4 years and decided to come back to university. So personally, I believe that I could provide a nice little insight into some external experiences I've had as working on in the trades as an electrician, and bring that into the finances of how things run, and really give it a second or a different view on things. I'm mostly here to learn, and I would be glad for the opportunity to really take some time to understand what's going on and the inner workings of what's happening with the student finances and the school in general. If possible, I would like to take part in this. Thank you guys for your time.
Excellent. Thank you. And with that, I will copy a link to vote over. Perfect. Very common question very common question from new counselors. Can you vote for yourself? Answer, yeah, you can. But with that, I will turn it off here. Good to go. Okay, I'm just going to hold off a little bit until we get all of the votes in for sure. Okay, I will just ask if everybody has voted. Looks like everybody has. Okay. Okay, so 28 votes cast. I was just waiting on that last one to compile in there. Councillor Fauteng, are you unable to vote? Okay. Okay. Okay, it wouldn't impact the result. That's okay. So with 28 votes cast, Councillor Matoska is the new member of Finance Committee. So congratulations to Councillor Matoska. And I just wanted to actually also put out a sentiment to the both of you, actually, for like stepping forward and accepting the nominations in your first meeting of council. That's very impressive, because this space can be intimidating at times, and there are a lot of other opportunities to become involved in committees of council and other governance structures in the university, and I encourage you all to involve yourselves again. But excellent. With that, we are coming at our natural break time here at 7:30. So we will look to, or 7:31, look to resume council again here at 7:46. And I will see you all soon.
All right. Is Eric still here? Counselor Enerson, are you here?
Assuming he is. Start singing, yeah.
Because it is, of course, Counselor Enerson's birthday.
Y'all are too extra, and I appreciate the hell out of it.
All right, intrigue.
You gotta sing for his birthday.
Wait, what language?
I only know one. Give me
in the language of your choice, I think.
In Latin.
Okay. All right. If you can do it in Latin, I'll bring you a piece of birthday cake.
Quacum Gevera. Right, that's the only Latin I know.
Two. One.
Happy birthday to you. Are you one? Are you two? Are you
three? Four.
Horrible.
Wait, there's an RU part two at the end. I never knew.
I've never heard that, honestly.
are there different traditions? Because I know, like, in my Spanish class, there's one thing where you have to, like, pull their ears till you reach their age. That's, like, another thing. I don't know. Each tradition has their own thing about what you do when it's
you're singing. In Brazil, you have to, like, sing a thing at the end, and it's like, oh, who are they going to marry? And then they do a little chant, and then your parents choose somebody in the crowd that you're going to marry, and it's really awkward.
Did anyone sing the and many more on channel 4 and go into the Scooby-Doo on channel 2?
Always.
Counselor Fortang, what's the tradition when you do it in Latin?
That's a good question. Quacumque vera. I think that's
that's happy birthday in Latin.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah. Also, just happens to be the school's motto.
Whatsoever is true about the age that you are. Congratulations.
I made another pass around the sun. I don't know. I call that pretty good.
Have like a gladiator fest. It's what the Romans did. I don't know.
Do we have anyone that wants to self-nominate as a gladiator?
I nominate Christian.
I'd like to second that nomination.
I would like to nominate myself.
You guys had better have some really long swords.
All right, Councillor Boas, you can give a one-minute speech.
All the way to Grand Ferry. Nominated.
I believe in action, not in speeches. So yeah, let's meet in the battlefield. Counselor Fortan.
Weehawken, Dawn.
Okay, I don't understand the language, but I guess that means you win.
Yeah.
I accept defeat. All right, I pardon you. Okay, by the way, I just finished watching The 100, and I have to say that it's one of the most underrated shows. Trust me, it is. Just watch it. Yeah, it gets a bit boring in the middle, but overall, it's really good.
Thank you, Amlan. I will. I don't want to get addicted to a new show in the middle of exams.
Yeah. Counselor Potang, I saw that you're TikTok famous too.
Oh, stop it.
I couldn't help but notice you were on every single social media feed. Like all my friends, their group chats. Wow, so relatable. I just saw you everywhere the last 2-3 days.
Christian
makes you think.
Accept it.
I don't know how to respond to that. I just made a dumb joke once.
Just invite us all to your yacht. That's all I know.
It's the bylaw effect. Tell you, that's where it's at.
Counselor Fotang ever shown you all his governance TikTok?
I did. That was like the first thing you exposed me about, Vice President Lai.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, well, the new counselors won't have seen it.
Oh, shush.
We're going to have to encore that one.
that's one of the better TikToks that I've ever seen. Maybe I just think that because there are people I know in it, but still, I love it. Better than anything Claudia Conway has produced.
I was thinking about this. This is just off the TikTok conversation, but if committees on council were a house in Harry Potter, which would it be? Finance is definitely Slytherin.
Don't even go there.
Policy is Hufflepuff.
Yeah, Alana, we already had this discussion. We determined as an exec team that Alana is definitely a Slytherin.
I don't understand.
Hey, by the way, Slytherin is the best house.
Yeah, and then people act offended when we say that, but I'm like,
of all the most unpredictable things that have happened this year, Alan, what you just said is the most predictable thing.
Yeah, the smartest ones. Like, come on. Like, if you look at
that. Alan, aren't you a Ravenclaw? You're not a Slytherin.
I am a Slytherin.
Be real with yourself. You're a Ravenclaw.
Okay, I took that test, and yeah, I am a Slytherin.
Amlan has that energy. I do. I see Amlan as a Slytherin. I believe.
I'm the devil.
I think Alana, you're like Alana. Well, maybe I'm wrong though. I don't know. I don't know enough. I just know that I want to try Butterbeer. That's all I do know.
It's kind of overrated, not gonna lie.
Butterbeer?
Wait, have you had? Is it?
It's because they have at Universal. It's just like sugar.
Oh. Yes, that's the good part, is the sugar.
Wait, like they put butter in beer?
I heard somebody mention butterbeer. This is actually, if you say butterbeer 3 times, I will officially be summoned. It's like Beetlejuice. I have a fantastic recipe. It is super good. Butterbeer actually originated in Henry VIII in the Tudor era in England. And basically it's a warmed imperial stout, typically added with various butter supplements if you're not into direct dairy stuff, as well as things like nutmeg, cinnamon, those kinds of flavors. So it's honestly a super, super nice, refreshing treat. Very bad for your stomach. If you've ever seen a photo of Henry VIII, he is a very, very stout man, type of person who could compete in the Fat Bear Week competition, which is happening right now, which I've declared.
Sorry, David. He just wants peak performance looks like.
Bear 747 for the win.
747 or nothing.
I was going to say, I used to work at a summer camp, and I would make butter beer with the kids, which was just putting pop in ice cream. And then I would send them all back to their real counselors, and I'd be like, good luck. Like, not my issue.
Isn't that just a float? I'm confused.
Yeah. But you put in, like, oh, and then you add caramel drizzle on top, and then you just, like, play Harry Potter music.
Okay, just a clarification question. That's a real thing?
I think that was the most butter beer of that whole explanation, the Harry Potter music playing in the background.
Yeah. There are people who put butter in their coffee. That's weird.
Yeah, it's a thing. Apparently the fat helps the caffeine not get absorbed so quickly. Gotta say, it sounds pretty gross, but yeah.
Wouldn't a lot of it like float to the surface? And it would create,
you whip it. Like you like use like a what do you call it? Hand mixer. You use a hand mixer.
It's probably comparable to like when you put eggs in a drink. It's a texture thing.
Alana, I freaking love you.
I don't have words. I just no.
It's definitely comparable to a whiskey sour with an egg in it. Like it's not a flavor thing; it's a texture thing. Like you're adding the butter for maybe a little bit, but it's the creaminess that comes out when you really like dilute it down. Kind of like the texture cream gives when you add it to coffee. So.
Mm-hmm. I love buttercream frosting. I have to, I have such a sweet tooth. Joel says I'm going to get diabetes, and I think that's rude, first of all. No offense to diabetes. It's a legitimate thing. But anywho, this is to say is that, I could really get down with, some buttercream frosting.
That's true, though. Like, how often are you drinking water or something or just any drink, and you're like, I wish this was creamier?
I wish this had butter.
On a daily basis. So the whiskey sour with egg in it actually intrigues me because I often am drinking whiskey and I'm like, it's not creamy enough.
Yeah, no, you get the whiskey sour with the inch of foam on the top from the egg. Ooh, ooh.
It's true.
Yeah, I often wake up in the middle of the night for a glass of water and go to the fridge to get a stick of butter to stir it in.
Abner
the best of both worlds here is you take a bottle of water and a carton of eggs and just crack all the eggs in the water, shake them up. It's perfect.
Rocky
it's not
style.
At all how it's usually done. You don't, like, keep the egg yolks in there. Doesn't matter. Like, don't even add lemon. All good. Just flat water and egg.
I don't know about that, Dave.
You want to spice it up, throw some carbonated mineral water in there, and then you're on, like, that's like the rich person's version.
I'm going to be honest, you guys. Gotta I think I've come down with eggs. A stomach flu, and this is actually making me want to vomit, so I'm just going to take a moment to breathe.
I don't understand, like, the eggs go in the thing, in the drink?
Yeah, so typically with sours, you add eggs and citrus, usually lemon juice, shake it. Typically without ice first and then ice in later, and that gives it a bit of a foam on top and a bit of a creamy texture inside, which is usually a great way to kind of add a bit more depth and flavor to a drink. Well, not much flavor, but
are you putting eggs in drinks?
Yeah, all the time. I love sours. And you can also make art with your bitters on top of the egg white foam.
Yeah.
But David, what about salmonella?
The lemon juice, the citrus, actually slightly cooks the eggs to a point where it's actually edible and not a health hazard.
Life
Plus
is worth taking.
You have an immune system, you know?
Because I got salmonella.
It's natural selection.
Okay.
Honestly, like, half the best things in life are also considerable salmonella risks. So, like, I'm just going to live. I've got food poisoning a couple times.
Hey.
And it's bad, but you will probably survive.
Like, Have you ever got salmonella? It sucks, Rowan.
Yes, but, you know, a life without joy also sucks. So, you know, we pick our battles.
David, you probably understand this. Wouldn't the whiskey also have a good effect on killing anything that would be adverse in there?
I mean, alcohol does typically have a great effect of like, killing bacteria and stuff. I know if, like, you're fermenting things, add some alcohol to the end, cuts it off. It also tends to kill feelings inside of you. Maybe not in a healthy way, but that also tends to happen.
This is great.
I'm literally here eating dinner about to fucking choke.
I need a consensus. Sorry, somebody speaking?
No, I was just going to say, David Draper, direct quote, alcohol kills all emotions inside you in the gateway.
So we're all here eating. I just had liver and onions with mashed potatoes. What is the 2020 consensus on liver and onions? Is it still a thing? Is it a thing of the past? Like, where do we stand on this?
No, that's like pate. That's like European cultured food. You're fine.
Is this some rich person joke I'm too poor to understand?
If you're looking for a way to, like, beef up dirty rice, toss some liver into there. It really kind of adds a bit of, like, a meatiness without getting too, like, intense liver flavor. So even if you're not a fan of liver, tossing some of that in your like, dirty rice is a fantastic. Anna, what?
Yeah.
How? Onions. No.
Yeah, I can't. Ever since I was a child.
All right. Now this is just nonsense. People are making fun of onions. It's time to start council again because that was purely out of order. All right. Item 7 C on our agenda here. We have some nominations for to do here again. This time here, Councillor Oliveira and Councillor Enerson move to appoint a new member of the translation committee. So with that, I will give the floor to Councillor Oliveira.
Can I make a friendly amendment to my nomination, and she's just so it says Oliveira and Enerson move to nominate one counselor. I'm sorry, the first time I did that, and I think it's
I'll fix that.
All right, so like as I guess I'll, okay, Eric, do you want to introduce it or do you want me to do it?
Go for it, and I'll add on afterwards if you'd like.
For sure. So Eric and I are looking for a third counselor to join our translation committee. We're in the process of hiring or appointing 4 to 5 students to sit at the translation committee and help us translate the bylaws. We'll love for somebody to sit with us during this election, during this hiring process, because Eric is very familiar with everyone at Campus St. John, and I'm very familiar with people that speak French at the North Campus. So it would be really good if we had a third person. Also, you don't have to know how to translate. If you have a good handle on French, that's all we're asking for. Yeah, thank you. Eric, you can go ahead.
Thank you very much. Ooh, one moment. I think Councillor Oliveira summarized it, you know, perfectly well. One of the biggest things we're looking for, I'd like to add on to her point, is just to make sure that there's a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for here? A third objective opinion. That way we can have, we can make sure there's no bias in any of the decisions. As she stated, we both know a lot of people that would be involved in either side with French. Having a third person would be hugely helpful, specifically to make sure that, you know, A, it stays unbiased, and then B, we don't end up in a tied decision of one person wanting something, one person want another. Councillor Orvold also sent me a message with how much language experience you'd need. As long as you're comfortable conversing with someone in French, I think that is exactly what we're looking for. Biggest thing is just to have somebody that can help us go through the nomination process. As well, then, if you're willing to help us, like working through bylaws, we would absolutely love that. Just to make sure that we can get a lot of this done.
As we talked about during, can you touch on the meeting times for the committee?
Currently, we have no set meeting time because, as the standing bylaws say, or standing orders say for translation committee, you have to have 5 members to have quorum for a meeting. And currently, it's just Councillor Oliveira and I, so we've just been kind of touching base as needed. So once we have a third person, we could definitely set a proper meeting time.
Oh, I was just curious, but okay, that all sounds great. I will look to open the floor for nominations. Councillor Enerson, did you have a nomination? I saw your name in there.
More so, it was just a touch on it. I might have one in a little bit.
Okay. Councillor Oliveira, you have a nomination?
I didn't, because I'm not sure who speaks French, but I know that VP Kid speaks some French, so I would like to nominate VP Kid.
Vice President Kid?
I'm going to have to say no because of the mono, but in January we can reassess.
So Vice President Kid respectfully declines. Councillor Orvald?
I'd like to nominate myself. I have about 2 semesters I just finished up over spring and summer for French. I have reasonable, I can speak a little bit, takes my time, but I'd like to nominate myself because I'd love to learn more.
Okay. And on that same note, how would you like to proceed with your nomination?
I'd like to accept my nomination.
Excellent. Love the initiative. Okay. I'm looking for names pop up. Councillor Oliveira.
Is there anyone that would like to be in this committee that speaks French that I do not know about? Please, you can just put your name in the chat. That's all.
I would encourage members to self-nominate if they would be interested in joining to make that process a little bit more streamlined. Okay, I'm going to make a final call for nominations. Okay, with that, I will extend a warm congratulations to Councillor Orvald for the appointment to the translation committee. I got to move a meme in a Google form now because we're not going to send that one out. Okay, a little bit of back-end work. All right, on to our next motion. But yes, congratulations, Councillor Orvald. Thank you for putting your name forward. Point of information.
So, Mr. Speaker, can I, before we go to that motion, can I move to go in camera?
As long as we get a secondary. Governor Conrad? Okay, so we're going to go into camera. I'm going to, with this, okay, we went into camera at the last meeting, and there were several members of the ISA there, but for those members and any members who are guests of council here tonight, I will ask that you look to I guess leave the like leave the call, and we'll have the host like reallow or re-enter you into the meeting once it's done, just like the putting into the waiting room. I do understand that last time there was a little bit of confusion with that. So I'll ensure that President Agarwal sends communication to the president of the ISA with a bit of a warning time prior to when we would be like looking to go back ex camera. And then we can also message the waiting room as well. But from that, I will just ask that all guests of council to leave the call. And in a moment here, just if there are any remaining Navneet or Kristen, I can't remember who has the host control right now. Kristen or Navneet, just as USU admin, I'm kind of lost. But feel free to remove people from the call if they're just kind of loafing. There are two proxies to be aware of. One of them. I'm just doing a quick flip through to make sure we don't have any guests. Okay, it looks good. President Agarwal. Oh, we'll go into Committee of the Whole as well, just to make it easy.
Cool. If it's Committee of the Whole, it's essentially it's just more informal. But I just wanted to give everyone an update on as to what happened last week. So. Last week we held a special council meeting, and we actually went into camera and discussed the whole ISA issue. So we essentially, the executive, we wanted to go into closed to give sort of context on why, I guess this would have been 2 weeks ago now, we decided to, and we all voted as a council to table the vote for ISA. And this was essentially based on, and this is, so I'm giving you all an update as to what we discussed last week. So most of you here were part of the discussion, and we actually had a really good discussion last week. But the TLDR is that we essentially, we received messages in the last meeting or 2 weeks ago regarding the fact that the ISA, if the vote failed, essentially they would be calling for sort of an international student boycott against the SU, and that we needed that they would sort of take this really public to various avenues. And we thought this was like a larger issue that we needed to discuss with council. So one thing I want to make very clear for those of you who weren't there last week is that that decision was not intended to, you know, change anyone's votes, or I recognize afterwards it may have come across like that, but we just wanted to inform you all as counselors about the circumstances that we're dealing with. So what was discussed, we had a really robust conversation at the last council meeting. What was essentially discussed, and after like a long discussion, was at the end of the day, it seems like there's a lot of misunderstanding and miscommunication between the ISA and our council on a lot of different sides. And, you know, one thing that we agreed on at our last meeting was that we should let the ISA know about how council feels, but do it in a constructive way. So regarding concerns about the letter that you all must have read online, there were concerns about, you know, like dismissing concerns about counselors or execs, and then how council really feels about the ISA. Those are all things that we want to address within the ISA and make sure that they actually understand what our concerns are as a council. I'm all for, you know, bridging the divide and really ensuring that it's a really collaborative process. So what was decided last council, and I want to hear from councillors maybe who weren't here at the meeting last week, but essentially what the suggestion was to put a motion on so the motion was tabled till today, and today essentially what we want to do is table the vote to the November 17th meeting, and in the interim we would set up sort of a talking circle between counselors and ISA folks, whoever wants to show up. It would be an optional talking circle to really go around and share the thoughts in an honest and constructive way. so that we can better understand both sides of the concerns. Like, council has concerns, ISA has concerns about council, a lot of tricky things. So the idea is to essentially today we discuss it in closed, and if council feels that that's the right approach, we would go out of camera and then move to move the motion to the November 17th meeting instead. So with that, I just want to open up to any thoughts, if people have any comments or thoughts about this, especially for the counselors who weren't at the last meeting last week. And if any of the other execs or anyone wants to add anything, feel free to jump in here.
Joel, I'm not hearing too much. Or Anna, go ahead.
I just want to say that I agree. I think that's a great idea, President Argyle. Like, I feel like as an international student, like, I want the ISA to be an SRA because I feel like they can.
Anna, I think you might have.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay, my computer did a very weird thing. Okay, I want them to be an SRA, but also, like, I, like many other counselors, I had a lot of concerns about a lot of things about the ISA, but I think we need some more time to kind of mull it over, see what best approaches we can take, because at the end of the day, ISA can represent international students better than any other institution, just like our faculty association can represent our students better, but I don't know, I still have concerns, and some more time would be beneficial.
Yeah, and Anna, those are good points. I think today what we would be, like, because you do bring up those concerns, that today what we would really be doing is giving us more time to actually address the concerns that we have for the ISA and the ISA to be more clear as well to us about what they are concerned about in this whole process. So, yeah.
Excellent. Lucas?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be a part of last week's discussions. However, I was a part of the discussions that what happened like last week in bylaw committee. And I see that a lot of counselors have concerns about what's going on with the ISA. And like personally, I do think that this type of behavior that has happened previously is not very ethically or moral correct. But well, that's up to them to do whatever they want. But again, just like Anna said, like as an international student as well, I do believe that the ISA is the best option that we have for international students, and that like I would tend to like try to approve them for an SRE as well. I do have my concerns about things, and I do also think that like tabling and moving into the upcoming meetings I feel like it's the best option at this point. But again, like, for people that like is still like very negative towards the ISA, just like as an international student, I see this as my best option. So just leaving that out there. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. David.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just for the sake of people who might not have been along for the entire conversation, I thought I might give a bit of context and outline kind of what's gone on as of yet and what the entire discussion kind of is going over. So the ISA is the International Students Association. They're an organization that started up roughly 8 months ago. They represent international students at the U of A, and they're applying for SRA status, Student Representative Association status, to get official delegated authority from the Students Union to represent international students. So that would mean that they would then more or less be an official arm of the Students Union, representing a student in an official capacity. Currently, as they exist right now, they're more or less an unofficial organization. They're a student group that is made up of every single international student, a student on campus. However, they're not officially recognized as the unique direct voice of those students. So this proposal is to officially recognize them as that. As of yet, in the discussions of council, there has been, I believe, four or possibly five if we're including the meeting last week, meetings wherein the ISA has attended in some aspect. There's two meetings where they gave presentations on the governance structure, as well as the meeting where the proposal was brought forward and the meeting last week wherein there was a discussion, I believe more or less incidentally, because the original motion to table happened before a motion to have another meeting. So with that, there was a variety of concerns brought up by councillors surrounding election processes, overall consultation, things like that. There's also a letter released from the ISA after the first meeting when we decided to table, which was directed at council and a variety of councillors outlining concerns from the ISA that was more or less in a somewhat hostile tone towards the students union. I just wanted to give a kind of a brief update on that just to bring everybody up to speed.
Excellent. Thank you. Omlin, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It, again, it's just my opinion. I think the proposal is ready. It looks good to me. I think it's ready. We can vote on it right now. I don't see any need to table it. But again, that's just my opinion. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Omlin. Anna, go ahead.
I just want to kind of like echo a little bit what Councillor Markey said. Is that like, as an international student, I haven't often felt represented as such at U of A. And it's kind of sad because we pay so much to be here and there is so much discrimination around just being an international student that is not even, that is like people find it weird or they find it odd or they just discriminate for like little things and big things. And for all kinds of international students, some have it better than others. But like, I just never felt a representation for international students before ISA. And I know they're not perfect. And I do have a lot of reservations about some of their policies. But honestly, nobody has stood up for international students the way that ISA has. And that's just how I felt. Like, I like know that they have been tricky to work with, believe me. But honestly, like, I feel represented by them in a way that I haven't felt by other groups on campus. Like, if I feel like if I had a problem of discrimination in campus, I could go to them easily and they would be there for me. Yeah, that's just all I have to say. Yeah, but I still think we should table it, just saying.
Awesome, thank you. Joel?
Yeah, so I just want to remind council that you know, this, that what we're discussing today is not whether they should be an ISA, an SRA. It's whether we should table the motion to the November, what did I say earlier? The November 17th meeting, as to give us more time to actually sit down in a talking circle, sort of a method, so we can actually address these issues. Because Anna, you raise really good and valid points, and I totally agree. Like, we need to be looking at those. But essentially, what I want, I guess, the direction from council today is should we table it and spend that month and a bit of time really having that open dialogue. So just wanted to clarify that.
Excellent, thanks, Joel. Christian.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Another reason I just wanted to add and second this motion for tabling this is just to add a perspective from like what we talked about in bylaw committee. And that is that while they've agreed to make some of these changes that we pressed for in their first principles, there's still no tangible bylaw constitutional change that ISA has brought forward for us to look at in council. And I feel like if we table, and they're still working on this, but I feel like if we also table it, it gives them the chance to just have a break and you know, write it out and then bring it back to us. And then we can look at that and just also just have more tangible feedback to add and help them in the process of building their constitution and bylaw. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Lucas.
Yeah, never mind. I'll just save it for future discussions. Thank you.
All righty. Okay. Joel.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, yeah, so if If council is okay, what we can do is we can go out of camera, or I guess X camera, and then I can put forward a motion to move this current motion 7G to the November 17th meeting. Would everyone be okay with that? Or are there any major concerns around that? In the meantime, what I will do is I will work with Chen Preet, the ISA president, as well as you folks here to set up a talking circle or some kind of a means where we can have an open discussion that's not necessarily a council meeting. It would be sort of an optional meeting outside of council. So we can really hash out some of the concerns on both sides. So with that, if there's no concerns, I'll just give it a few seconds if there's any other thoughts. What I'll do then, I will motion to go X camera, and then...
Okay. I'm going to quickly just note on what in camera versus X camera means, and thank you, Omlin, for the secondary. That would be great. The in-camera portion for the new counselors, you've probably already signed a non-disclosure agreement. And if not, then we're in a little bit of trouble. But I'm seeing a nod there from Nolan, so I'm going to take that as a yes. All right, so in-camera, like what the discussion that we just had basically means that like you can only discuss these matters with other members of council. And it's asked that you don't discuss these things like through online forums other than... like designated for council purposes, so like WhatsApp, for example. Like I wouldn't go talking about these things on Facebook just because of the encryptions. But with that being said, legally bound to keep that one quiet. So going to motion into X camera now. We already have a secondary, so we can go X camera perfectly fine. Kristen, would you please be kind enough to let the guests in from the waiting room? Are there a few? Okay, excellent. I saw your note there. Oh, perfect. I see our guest count is right back up. Welcome back, everybody. We are now officially X camera. Well, I guess we were. We will look to...
Mr. Speaker, then I will call a motion to move the current item 7G, 13-7G, to the November 17th council meeting.
President Agarwal, do you mean 7D?
Yeah, sorry about that. 7D.
Okay, so to clarify, you're motioning to table this to the November 17th meeting?
No, apparently in accordance to Robert's rules, tabling means to the next meeting. So I would move this motion to this November 17th meeting.
Okay. That is fine. And could I please get a secondary on that? Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Marquise. And I will look for the vote. All right, it's just populating. I mean, we have a conclusive answer, but I'm just waiting on the last of the votes here. Okay, that will pass unanimously with 26 votes in favor. So we'll revisit that motion again at the November 17th meeting. Okay. Item 7E, Vice President Kidd moves to appoint a member of council to the Landings LGBTQ+ Advisory Committee. I need a secondary, please. Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Filipovich. With that, I will allow for Vice President Kidd a moment to introduce.
Yeah, so the advisory, okay, sorry, I got confused with the chat. The advisory committee gives recommendations on behalf of the members of the LGBTQ2SPIA plus community to have their interests represented through the landing's objectives and programming and within the SU's framework. And it's also intended to create solidarity with all intersections of identity within the community through the landing and the SU's frameworks. You will be sitting on this committee with VP Draper. And if you have any other questions, I can try and give you more details, but that's really what you're doing.
Excellent. Thank you, Katie. Or sorry, Vice President Kidd. Vice President Draper.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you very much, VP Kidd, for bringing this to the agenda. I just wanted to second the importance of the landing on campus. As a queer person on campus, it's always been very, very welcoming and happy to, and motivating to see such a great support network and such a fantastic place for meetups, for showcasing queer art and culture, and for very much so open and fruitful and safe discussion about various queer issues, topics, and just life in general. So for whoever is nominated to this board, I'm looking very, very forward to working with you on this. I know this is something that I am quite passionate about, as making sure that our campus and our community is as inclusive and as welcoming as possible is something that very much so is a goal for me. So whoever is nominated to this, I'm looking forward to working with you, and I can't wait to help pursue this goal of creating a more inclusive, open campus community and normalizing just overall queerness together.
Awesome. Thank you, Vice President Draper. So I will look to call for nominations. We've done this twice tonight. Y'all know how this works. So if anybody would like to nominate another person or themselves, I am politely waiting for the speakers list. Vice President Draper.
I would like to nominate Councillor Yabut.
Councillor Yabut.
Oh my God, I thought you'd never ask. I would love to accept.
Excellent. Councillor Marquise.
I would like to nominate Councillor DeGrano.
And Councillor DeGrano.
Thank you for the nomination, but I think Serena would be perfect for this.
Excellent.
I'm gonna decline, just to clarify.
No, that's okay. I got that one. Okay, I'm gonna make a final call for nominations here. Seeing none. Congratulations, Councillor Yabut, for your appointment to the Landings Advisory Committee. Awesome. Okay, item 7F of tonight's agenda. Let's see how far we can get down the alphabet. Councillor Montero and Councillor Brandwine move to ratify the appointment of a student at large, or ratify the appointment of Maliha Moyon to the student at large position on the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Granted, we already have a secondary. I'll look to Councillor Montero or Councillor Brandwine to introduce the motion.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I'm actually going to pass the time off to the chair of nominating committee, VP Draper. And we'll do the explanation.
VP Draper, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Councillor Montero and Mr. Speaker. I'm just going on to the order of papers right now to pull up the full introduction that I had written for this individual. I believe it should be on there as just a quick information item, but this is an applicant who has applied for the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee student at large position. Their application was quite strong. They've showcased a lot of leadership in a variety of communities, and specifically a direct interest in community and learning, and really being a very involved citizen. They've supervised events, led educational groups, also spent a lot of time learning about the cultural importance of beading, and also how to functionally do proper beating work. Personally, I have no reservations recommending this individual for the position as a student at large on the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. And yeah, I look forward to welcoming them to the extended council team.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. With that, I will look to the speakers list for any debate, commentary, questions, anything. Okay. Seeing none, I will post the link to vote. Excellent. Okay. It's got enough votes in that we have a definite conclusive answer, but passing unanimously with 25 votes, this too shall pass. So, amazing. On to item 7G of tonight's agenda. President Agarwal moves to create the Governance Restructuring Task Force, or GRTF, which is to be an ad hoc committee of Students' Council with a mandate to expire at 11:59 p.m. on April 30th, 2020. The cursor's over it. 2021? Yes, perfect. Thank you, Councillor Bowes, for the secondary. Love to see it. President Agarwal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So you all heard the presentation I gave 2 weeks ago. For those of you who weren't there, just a quick update. We're putting together a task force to look at some of the changes that are happening with academic restructuring are undoubtedly going to be impacting the students' union governance. So I got a lot of feedback from folks 2 weeks ago around creating this task force to really address the governance structural issues. Today, essentially, we're voting to create this task force with a mandate to expire at 11:59 on the 30th of April, 2021. So it's obviously an ad hoc committee. What I'm envisioning is that at the first meeting, so today we'd be voting on the creation and adding and the membership. At the first meeting, whenever we decide to meet, we would look at the first meeting and then on onwards, we'll be looking at the goals and the strategic sort of direction this committee is going to be working towards. And throughout, there'll be a regular iterative process, coming back to council and ensuring that people are kept in the loop. There'll be a very thorough consultation process. What I'll say is that this specific motion is to create the task force. The next motion is to vote for four councillors to be on this working group, or sorry, this task force. It is going to be a rather large commitment. It'll probably be about a two-hour commitment per week, as there's a lot of large issues to be dealing with. There's a lot of reports from 2014, a lot of data to look through, as well as really addressing what the issues are and further what the consultation pathway and process is going to look like. So I'm happy to take any further questions. I hope you've all had a chance to look at the standing orders that are being proposed, as well as the and any of the questions from the last presentation.
Excellent. Thank you, Councilor. Sorry, thank you, President Agarwal. We'll look to any sort of questions or debate. Councilor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. my first issue is I'm looking for a friendly amendment to the proposed standing orders on two issues. The first one is to add an additional student council member for both working groups so that the overall membership of the both working groups are an odd number. And then the second friendly amendment I'm proposing is that the quorum shall be, write my number right here, 5 individuals. Particularly because, and unless it's the intention that everyone has to attend every single meeting, that may or may not be practical. And
can I respond to that, Mr. Speaker?
Sure. Yeah, no, feel free.
So that's a good point you raise, Councillor Buchanan. One thing I'll note is that the total membership of the GRTF is actually 11, when including all of the voting members. So it's currently already odd. So I'm not sure if it would be necessary to change the membership there.
Vice President Kidd.
I just wanted to talk about Councillor Buchanan's amendments, but I now don't know what's happening with them, so never mind.
Okay, Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could President Agarwal further elaborate on how these two working groups are going to be effectively addressing the two drastic different issues of the working group independently and working with the GRTF? Like, are we creating three different committees here? Are there the one committee as a whole meeting? Are the working groups meeting separately? Because the decisions that both working groups affect potentially could be vastly different, and the working groups are both even numbers.
President Agarwal.
Yeah, so you do raise a good concern, Councillor Buchanan. One thing I'll reiterate is that the membership of both the Students Council Restructuring Working Group and the Student Representative Association Restructuring Working Group, the combination of both of those is the composition of the Governance Restructuring Task Force. The reason we wanted to put it into sort of two separate working groups is to more of a hands-on on work. Essentially, any recommendations from either of the two working groups that come to council will be brought to the Governance Restructuring Task Force. So essentially, everything would come through an agreement between both of the working groups at the end of the day. So if there were any disagreements or any differences, they would have to be hashed out within the total membership, which is an odd number of individual voting members, which would help with voting. Even though this committee, we're not doing any real voting, it's more of a recommendation, but in the case of voting, it would be an odd number. And then based on that consensus, would be presented as a recommendation to council. So at the end of the day, Students Council holds the official delegated authority to make any changes or recommendations that the task force proposes.
Thank you, President Agarwal. Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was wondering if Mr. President Agarwal could further elaborate on what the actual goals and directives that the executive envisions these are going to address. Because just a preliminary reading over the presentation last week and the documents presented for this week, I could list off lots of things. It could be addressing, edit the actual composition of what council looked like. It could look the procedures with council, different procedures for how faculty associations, student associations are dealing with their own matters and with the student union. It could do with audit procedures. It is such a vast number of issues that could be brought up, because the mandate is so large and somewhat vague and open. And so my concern is that we're giving them such a large directive on where to go. It's unclear what problem are we asking them to address. And that's additionally an issue because it's not certain with the AWRG and with the SED initiative what the university is actually going to do. And so there's a potential that work could be done over the next month or and a half or so before a final decision is made by the university. And that would require this working group, the task force, to backtrack, because there could be unexpected changes. I think most people that have been in the presentation understand which direction the university administration wants to go. But until there's an official decision and what that looks like, we're not sure how that will affect the student union. So I'm wondering, is it appropriate to be giving a very open and uncertain mandate for what problems we're trying to address before we even know what the change is going to look like? And then also outside of the university restructuring, what specific problems are we trying to address here? And would this potentially create a conflict with other committees and work they're doing, whether it's bylaw or finance, that with people that are on this committee, vast majority be volunteers, and we don't want to be burning people out in their time unnecessarily.
President Agarwal.
Yeah, once again, Councillor Buchanan, good point. The rationale behind that is, as you all know, I sit on the Academic Restructuring Working Group, so I have a lot of the firsthand information as to the discussions that have been going on. And of course, we're getting quite close, I'd say, at this point, having been discussing models since April, and now it's October. I think we're getting pretty close in terms of what models are going to be implemented. The Board of Governors will be voting on the models sometime next month, actually in December or early December. The other point is that there is a lot of work to do in terms of looking at the structures, and I understand that it is very high level at this point, but the rationale behind that is that the task force will be deciding early on what the goals and principles are based on a lot of the research that has potentially been done already regarding some of the reports from 2014 on governance, looking at some of the issues on governance, on council. And the reason why it's important for the task force to be looking at that is that, quite honestly, it's far too large a task to be discussing at council at this point. There's so many different avenues, and so what I propose is that I want to keep it high level at this stage and then get into the specifics later. So what I do propose is that the mandate will be discussed early on, and in terms of when this task force is created, there will be one of the first tasks will be to create a goals document, a document that really outlines what the course of action will be, and that what we can do is bring that to council to see for feedback and thoughts before the process is completely started. So those are sort of the high level reasonings behind the creation of this with the mandate that it currently has.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Not seeing anything else on the speakers list here. So I'm going to assume that y'all are okay to vote. Oh, perfect. Thank you, Councillor Bowes. See, okay, call to question. This is a great example for new councillors in the room or existing councillors who might not have known this. But whenever you feel that council could be ready to vote on something, or that conversation is becoming circular or kind of dying out, you can call to question at any time to bring the item to a vote. And then I'll go and ask for a secondary. which would be great if I could get a secondary. Thank you. And then I'll go like this, and I'll throw a link, and then everybody will go and vote. It'll be good.
Quick point of information there, Mr. Speaker. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if there is a call to question, aren't you supposed to also vote on the call for question unless the speaking list is already exhausted? So if it was while there wasn't an existing speakers list, wouldn't the call to question then have to be voted for and then the motion be voted for?
Technically, yes.
But for, not for this situation, since there's no speaker list.
Yeah. If there was a speakers list, I would have, well, if, yeah, if there was a speakers list, we would have gone to a vote, just at the discretion of saving time. Oh, wait, did I send the wrong, I don't think I sent the wrong link.
No, you sent the right one, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I got confused by Councillor Bid's question. Vice President Kidd, I do not create these memes. I am merely the mailman. But thank you.
Whoever made the meme, it's a nice meme.
They are all anonymous. If you claim a meme, you will never get to be back in the Google Forms. Okay, so we have all of our responses here. And this will pass with 26 votes in favor, one opposed, and one abstention. If the abstention would like to be noted, please feel free to just throw your name into the chat or personal message it to myself and I will send it along. But okay, the final motion on tonight's agenda, item 7H. President Agarwal moves to appoint four members of Students' Council to the Governance Restructuring Task Force. I'll look for a secondary. Thank you, Councillor Enerson. And with that, President Agarwal, moment to introduce.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as I said earlier, this is a very high commitment task force. It's very important work. I'm envisioning probably meetings every week, 2 hours a week, depending on you know what is going to be happening. This will be meeting as per the mandate, probably up until April. I think the main things that for this task force, a really good understanding of governance, experience with students' union governance, faculty association would be a huge asset. We will be looking and doing a lot of the goals, the mandate, looking at the recommend, eventually working to create a report of recommendations to council. So with that, I'm looking for four members of students' council who are non-executives to sit on this task force.
All right, thank you, President Agarwal. Okay, so we need four members of council, which means we need lots of nominations and some self-nominations as well, if you feel so inclined. But we've got quite the list coming already. So, Councillor Oliveira, why don't you start us off here?
I would like to nominate Councillor Enerson.
I'm not going to gatekeep these, so Councillor Enerson, just fly right in there.
Sure, I accept the nomination.
Excellent. David, your point of information?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly ask President Agarwal a quick confirmation question. I believe in the standing orders, it states that you cannot simultaneously represent a faculty association on this committee as well as a students' council on this committee. So I just wanted to ask that. I do believe I already know the answer since it's stated in the standing orders, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody on council knew that as well, that if you're going to serve on this committee as a counselor, you cannot also serve on this committee as a faculty association representative elected by COFA, CORA, or any other board on the other side of the task force.
Excellent. Thank you, VP Draper. Vice President Kidd.
I would like to nominate Councillor Carbajal.
Councillor Carbajal?
I accept.
Excellent. Councillor Filipovich.
I would like to nominate Councillor Brandwein.
Councillor Brandwein.
Thank you for the nomination. I would have said yes, but I'm sure about the commitment to this. I'm going to have to respectfully decline.
All right. Excellent. Councillor Anderson.
I nominate Councillor Oliveira.
Councillor Oliveira.
I want to say yes to this so bad, but because of other things I've said yes to and the type commitment, I'm going to have to respectfully decline. But thank you, Eric.
All right. Councillor DeGrano.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Marquez.
Councillor Marquez.
Yeah, I'll accept. Thank you.
Excellent. Councillor Dixon.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Fotang.
Councillor Fotang.
I will accept. Thank you.
Excellent. Vice President Lei.
Moot. I was just about to nominate Councillor Fotang.
All right. Councillor Bid.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Veloso.
Councillor Veloso.
Thank you for a nomination, but I'd like to respectfully decline.
Okay. Vice President Kidd.
I would like to nominate Councillor Bose.
Councillor Bose.
Thank you for the nomination, and I accept.
Excellent. President Agarwal.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Conrad, or Board of Governor Representative Conrad.
Governor Conrad. Dave.
You're muted. Sorry. I do accept. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I did unmute first, but thanks.
Ah, sweet. Okay. Awesome. That's six. Wow. Okay. Vice President Draper.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I would like to nominate Councillor Filipovich as well as Councillor Kimani.
Okay. We're going to go Councillor Filipovich first.
I would love to accept. My only thing is just the commitment. If President Agarwal could just expand a bit on when he thinks the meetings would be. As a nursing student, a lot of my evenings are occupied by clinical, so maybe just a little more clarification on the commitment.
Yeah, I can quickly respond to that. I at this point, it would really depend on the most availability on based on who's selected for this committee. That being said, like we can try to work around some of those clinical experiences that you're talking about, but I can't say right now when it would be.
Okay, I'm going to have to respectfully decline. Thank you for your nomination, though.
Great. Councillor Kimani?
Thank you for the nomination, but for the same reasons, I'm going to have to decline.
Okay. Governor Conrad with the nomination?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Councillor Montero.
Councillor Montero?
I'd like to accept. Thank you.
Great. Councillor Oliveira?
I would like to nominate Councillor Marquis.
Councillor Marquis has already accepted.
Thank you, though.
Okay. President Agarwal.
Oh, sorry. No, I took my name off.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that the exhaustion of the speaker's list? It is. Okay. There was a plethora. Oh, VP Kid.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dixon.
Councillor Dixon?
I'd like to respectfully decline. Thanks, though.
Okay. For real this time. We're going to go into speeches. So just like usual, we're going to go into the order in which you were nominated. So that would start with Councillor Enerson, then Councillor Carbajal, Councillor Marquis, Councillor Fotang, Councillor Bose, Councillor Governor Conrad, and Councillor Montero. So we have 7 people contesting for 4 positions, and each person has a minute to speak before we get started here. Councillor Enerson, why don't you take us away?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate Councillor Oliveira nominating me for this. I think I could be a huge asset to this task force, specifically because of my past experience with different committees, with different student association, as well as different clubs. I've been through a lot of it since my first year, being involved in student clubs at CSJ, being involved with the faculty association across all different levels, whether that be in finance, whether that be as president or just as a counselor. Then coming in and being involved with Students' Council, I've had a huge opportunity to be able to see how things run, how things, you know, could be improved. And I'd really love to be a part of an opportunity like this, specifically because it impacts the future of not only the Students' Union, but the U of A and students in general. This is something that I've been hugely passionate about since my first year, and even beyond that, since high school. Student governance has always been something that's been really close to my heart. I think that this is an absolutely tremendous opportunity, and I would seriously appreciate your consideration. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Enerson. I'll look to Councillor Carbajal.
Hello. So as some of council knows, I have quite a bit of experience in diverse roles in student governance, and this is my 7th year. So I've been from counselor to an exec to volunteer, and I understand what it means to be a counselor and the responsibility that come with it and the privilege of representing my constituents. And I hope I can bring the insight of this diverse background and my comprehension of a counselor's role to this committee. I've been part of many different governance structures, so that has led me to understand that our presentation doesn't have one set model. And while the U of A process is undergoing restructuring, I would like to think of this committee as reimagining our student governance structure, so we are not limited to restructuring with only the pieces that we've already given, so that we may work with the good in our current model and the pieces to make the model the best it can be. I've always valued and encouraged every voice in the room and ensure that no one is left out, no matter how big or small that group may be. So if I am selected into this committee, I will ensure that the proposed models consider our whole student body to represent them the best. And I also feel like I could bring a unique input to this committee, considering I'm the only counselor that's a woman that's accepted. So yeah, thank you. That's my little speech.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Carbajal. Councillor Marquise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is my first year on council. However, for the past few months, I was able to acquire a lot of experience in student governance, not only in council, but also outside of council in pretty much every single level of governance in the university. In council, I have done a lot of work in both the finance and bylaw committees, and I do believe that we've had achieved important milestones. I have also started working with OASIS at a directorship there, which has also allowed me to learn a lot about what faculty associations does and how the bylaw structure works there. And also recently I have helped co-found the New Economic Students Association. So academic restructuring is something that I've had in my mind for the past couple of weeks and that I have helped, that I've used to help co-write the new constitution for it. So that's something that I've been doing recently. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Marquise. Councillor Potang.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Dixon, for the nomination. Yeah, I think this is a really awesome opportunity. While I am new to council, I've in the last many months, I learned a lot, and I've taken on a lot of problem-solving issues, whether it be with rearranging our bylaws to make it more accessible for students to run in the COVID situation. And I've also taken on roles in consulting with our faculty associations like ICE. So I've gained consultation experience there. And for me, this is just about, as some has already mentioned, it's reimagining what our council will look like in the future and making it more open and more accessible and and I would just love to be there and put change into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Boateng. Councillor Boateng.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, yeah, this is my third year on council as well as on GFC. Apart from that, I am also the Vice President Academics of the Engineering Student Society. So I have got quite a bit of knowledge on governance, both on faculty level and SU and university level. There are only a few committees on which I haven't sat on over the past 3 years. So yeah, I think I have got quite a bit of knowledge on governance and I know which structures will work and which won't. But with that being said, I also do sit on GFC Academic Planning Committee. So I do get the secondhand knowledge from ARC. And yeah, like if you think I will do a good job, just vote for me. And also this is my last year on governance. So I wanna leave it with a bang. And I think this is a great opportunity for me to do that. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowes. Governor Conrad.
I'm passionate about system restructuring for collective well-being and see it as a priority in my future career as a diplomat. On this task force, I want to especially focus on collaborating with Indigenous students to create a more productive, inclusive SU. Experiences that qualify me are sitting on the board, where I have unique insight into academic and administrative restructuring and how we can best utilize a structure change. Sitting on board governance committee, which is like CAC, gives me insight into positive and negative operational ideas. Being VP internal for my FA last year, I had to address barriers to student engagement. Sitting on the sustainability committee last term gave me consultation experience and practice in challenging structural norms. Activism work with local environmental and Indigenous groups has taught me more about system impacts on people and what effective change is and is not. And lastly, my degree, Human Dimensions of Environmental Management, is about understanding and responding to structural social realities. So those are the things that I have to bring to the table.
Thank you, Governor Conrad. Councillor Montero, finish us off.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Board of Governors Conrad, for the nomination. So this task force is a crucial step for the SU in restructuring themselves, making themselves as best as possible to represent the students. I, myself, understand that it's a very large commitment. I'm prepared for this commitment. And as being a previous president of a faculty association, being president of some student groups on campus, and being involved in a variety of other committees, including all the experience I've gained on student council, feel that I'm really good for this role. My hope is that the SU in representing students is the best that it can be possible. And I want to ensure that all the diverse students on campus, their voices are heard, and brought to the table when making these considerations. To quote our council oath, the reason I started in governance was to be able to serve the students and not myself. I think in the past 5 years that I've been in governance, I've had the opportunity to do that. And I want to continue to bring all that knowledge that I've gained to the table to make the best decisions possible. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Montero. So that'll finish off our speeches here. I'm just populating the link for the voting and making sure that it shuffles the row order so that the voting form doesn't create any form of bias. For the new councillors, this one, since it is contested, it does run on a preferential ballot. So you'll see that there will be 8 options for you to choose from, 7 members of council, as well as none of the above, and then you'll have 8 choices to make. So you do have to fill out every slot, but yeah, it should be pretty straightforward from there. Also, just noting on how slowly votes are coming in, it's probably going to take me a while to tabulate the votes as well. So please bear with me. I will try to get it done. Actually, if our meeting, we're going to end right on time. I'll probably look to get it done just right after the meeting so that I can send out an email afterwards. It's just a little bit of math on my end. Okay, so we have all the votes in. I couldn't even tell you looking at the chart who's going to be on this committee. Okay, so I'm going to do some math after we do the attendance here. But we'll do a closing attendance. I realize we forgot to do attendance before the break, but that's fine. So everybody, I'll just give you guys a free one. Okay, President Agarwal.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Draper.
Hello, 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 hello.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Cron.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Kidd.
Present.
Excellent. Governor Conrad.
Yeah, I'm here.
Perfect. Councillor Carvalho. Perfect. Councillor Dixon?
Yep.
Excellent. Councillor DeGrano?
Here.
Perfect. Councillor Marquise?
Here.
Councillor Oliveira?
Here.
Councillor Veloso?
Here.
Councillor Yabut?
Here.
Councillor Berhani? Councillor Saretsky?
Present.
Excellent. Councillor Matoska, were you in education?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. I'm just going to put you into our Google form here for the attendance. Awesome. Okay. Councillor Ackerman? Excellent. Councillor Batiki?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Bid?
Present.
Awesome. Councillor Bose?
Here.
Sweet. Councillor Hariharan?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Montero?
Hello, hello, hello. To go VP Driver.
Councillor Buchanan is.
Yes, I am here.
Excellent. Councillor Filipovic?
Present.
Perfect. Councillor Orvald, you were in open studies, right?
Correct.
Awesome. I'm going to put you down here. Get everybody into this form now. Councillor Brandwine?
Already here.
Excellent. Councillor Enerson?
Present.
Councillor Badesha? Councillor Berezesh? Perfect. Councillor Dillon? Councillor Fotang?
Present.
Excellent. Councillor Kamani?
Here.
Perfect. And Councillor Corday? Perfect. I myself am here. Marcus is not. Okay. So that will conclude tonight's meeting of council. I do just want to throw a note out there. If you guys enjoyed today's memes, anybody feel free to like email me a meme, Facebook message me a meme, WhatsApp me a meme. I'll never give credit to the person who actually sends me a meme just to keep it anonymous, but I might throw it onto a voting forum if I find it's good enough. But I'll be the judge. I hope to get some memes over the course of the next 2 weeks, because we're going to be meeting back on October 20th at 6 p.m. But to the new counselors, thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for putting your name forward. To everybody, thank you for coming in tonight. And I hope you all have a wonderful evening. And enjoy the next 2 weeks. And I will see you then. But yeah, have a great night.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good evening.
Bye, everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Bye.
You're welcome. I hope everybody stays safe in the land of COVIDs. So glad I'm in a small town.
Did you just call Kamloops a small town?
Okay, I'm not in Kamloops. I'm just outside of Kelowna. I never actually say where I really live, because I live at Predator Ridge. But it's
I'll make sure to send everybody that's going out to BC there, just to make it a party spot now.
it's like a golf community. So there's so many old people.
I'll talk to my hockey player friends and tell them it's a golf community, and then they'll be right there.
Absolutely. Okay, I love it. Nolan, it was great meeting you tonight, buddy. Throw me an ad on Facebook or something.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.